When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are we good? Mike? Very good? Just very good? Okay, fair enough. Look, the guy doesn't give me something to... He's a harsh taskmaster with Mike. Mike does not suffer fools. Gladly? Is that the saying? All right, enough. This might be the final show, actually. I feel like we maybe fulfilled our mission, and check online to see some of these things for sale. I'll even initial them. I'll initial the soundboard. No! We're just beginning. And guys, tonight, we have an exciting best show for you. We're going to have Yola Tango in the studio. Gonna have AP Mike is here. The whole gang's here. It's gonna be a good old fashioned time. So you and your family, you sit around the laptop, right? Come on, kids, let's sit around the laptop and listen to the show while daddy, asks a few questions on this AMA. I want to ask Gavin McLeod some questions. He's doing an AMA. Did Gavin McLeod ever do an ask me anything? Mike, can we get an answer to that? Did Gavin McLeod ever do a Reddit AMA? Well, I know you're not sure. I'm saying go to the people and get some answers. In the meantime, my friends, the best show will now begin now.
Jersey, back again.
sometimes you have to yell at the turntable like that. Oh, guys, gals, youngsters, old timers, patriots. Infidels? America haters. One thing has gathered us all here tonight, and that's the best show. And this is the best show. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the best show. We've got an exciting program lined up for you tonight. We have Yola Tango. We're going to be live here talking, telling us all about things that are going on. Things like what? Like their new album, which is called Stuff Like That There. What do you think of that song, Mike? You hear that song? Oh, you liked it, huh? You liked it. You're not going to... I would love to see you start trashing it with them sitting right out there. Not that you would trash it, but what if you were just like, man, not for me, and then you're sitting out there with them? No, you're not that guy. I don't know why you get the rep for being that guy. It is crazy. The message has been changed on AP Mike. The narrative is off target. The name of the album, Stuff Like That There, right? Is that it? Yes. I think so. I don't know. We just heard from that, which is not out yet. That was a best show exclusive. We got to get a best show exclusive, right? Should get a guy to do that. Best show exclusive. Just blast it over, so that nobody can actually enjoy the song. Best show exclusive. We heard Automatic Doom. And we will talk to the members of Yola Tango about the new album, and we'll get the lowdown shortly. Before that, we heard Don Muro. Don Muro, there's an album called Sue Francis et Ecstasis de Jeune Amour. I don't know what that means, but it's on the Flannel Graph record label. It's a great collection of stuff from between 69 and 74, and we heard a song called Getting Closer. It's a really great record. Before that, Nick Diamonds. You know him from Islands and Unicorns. His solo record, City of Quartz. We heard Love is Stranger. That comes out later this month. And starting us off, Kinski from their album, which just came out today. What is this, a new release Tuesday? Heavy Duty, man. Detroit Trickle Down, the name of that song. From their new album, 7 or 8, on the Kill Rock Stars label. That's a really great, that was really awesome. I'm being told, Mike is telling me a celebrity is on the line to forego everything else I was talking about to get to the celebrity who's waiting to speak to me. Besho, you're on the air.
Sharpling.
Oh, I know who this is. Wow. This, for people who don't know, there's a guy named Spike who used to call the show when it was on WFMU, and he was a regular caller, a little too regular, some might say. Not me. Look, some tired of his, what they called, limited palate. Some complained he only spoke of horror movies and doo-wop music and the hatred of women. But that was not me. Some said that. I said, look, guys, you let him keep calling. He's not going anywhere. But then the show went away, and now it's back, and now Spike is back. How are you, Spike?
I'm still elderly, but I'm fine. Nothing in that.
Yeah, what, do you think you'd go backwards? Like, yeah, that's how it kind of works.
I wish we could go backwards.
You wish you could pull, like, Benjamin Buttons, right?
Something like that.
Did you ever see that movie?
No, actually, I know people who have. I personally never saw it.
Wait, you know someone who's seen Benjamin Buttons?
Yeah, they didn't like it.
They didn't?
No.
Where'd they see it?
In a movie theater.
Okay.
When it came out.
Like third run? It's probably like when they see it, like 2 weeks ago? Like it's still in the theater?
No.
The eighth
whatever
run?
Whatever year it came out, I don't remember what year it was, but whatever year it came out, they saw it then.
Now, Spike, I don't know if you're aware. The elephant in the room. We can talk about it, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. You went from being, I mentioned you when we were on the Seth Meyers show, Late Night with Seth Meyers. I mentioned you.
Yes, I heard. I even saw.
You saw it? Where'd you watch that? On a library computer? Best Buy? Did you ask them? You pretended you were in the market for a laptop and wanted to check out the video capability. Where did you watch it?
Oh, at home.
At home?
Yeah, on the computer.
When you saw, when you heard about that, what did you think?
I found it interesting that I was mentioned on a show,
mm-hmm.
a talk show that I never really watched because I don't stay up that late.
Sure. Nothing like unbridled positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Any more qualifiers you can throw on that? Look.
It just sounded interesting that, it was a big deal.
Did you do a dance when you saw that you were mentioned on a national program?
I was intrigued.
How jaded are you? You were intrigued. I think I'll investigate further.
Yeah,
I'm listening. I mentioned you on TV. I went all the way out of my way. Look, admittedly, it was, I was painting a portrait of a waking nightmare. But you were still mentioned.
Yeah, I was mentioned, and then the next day I saw all these posts about me being mentioned, and that's how I wound up seeing it.
What was the TV show you thought you'd be first mentioned on? It was not Late Night with Seth Meyers. What was it? Cops? Hoarders? What show was it?
I only watched Hoarders 2 or 3 times.
You ever see that show, Animal Cops? What a bum. Like, if you're going to call a show Animal Cops, it was like cops rescuing animals. I wanted to see a show where animals were cops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never seen that show personally, no.
Okay, but maybe you have a friend who's seen it. Maybe you have somewhere there's a friend who's seen it, huh?
I don't know anybody that's ever seen it.
Okay.
For a change.
What's new in the world of Spike? What's going on?
Oh, the usual. Yeah, I'm still watching soap operas. Well, 2 of them anyway.
Yeah, there's none left, right?
There's only 4 left.
Only 4. Let me see if I can name them. Passions, that's gone, right?
I've only watched that show once, and yes, it is gone.
As the World Turns is still on the air.
No.
No. General Hospital is still on the air.
Yeah, General Hospital is 1.
Yeah, I got 1. Days of Our Lives still on the air.
You got 2.
I got 2. Give me a hint on the... So we got General Hospital, Days of Our Lives.
Well, the other 2 are on CBS, the remaining 2.
Okay, 2 Broke Girls? That's not a soap opera, right?
No, it's about 2 waitresses.
Give me a hint.
One of them has the word young in the title.
Oh, that's not a hint. That's half the title. One of them. Jeepers. Let me see if I can. The Young and the Restless.
That's right.
You know how hints that's work, three. Right?
Yeah, that's three.
Yeah. Well, I don't even want to ask you for a hint on the other one. You'll tell it to me.
Let's just say it has something to do with the fashion industry.
Has something to do with the fashion industry. Hmm.
Yeah.
Prêt-à-manger?
No.
It's not? You ever see that movie, Prêt-à-manger? Altman? You like Altman?
I think I saw it once. But somebody, I was in somebody's house and they had it on.
I'm questioning your viewing habits. You think you saw a thing. You maybe has a friend who saw a thing. I don't know. Something is a little off with you. Let me think. What could it be about the fashion industry? Port Charles.
No, that was a spinoff of General Hospital, and that's been gone for 20 years.
Dark Shadows.
And that's going back 50 years.
Hyder in the House? Is that a soap opera?
What was that again?
Hyder in the House?
No, isn't that about Tiger Woods? Some reality show about Tiger Woods.
You just one-upped my stupid question. You actually dismantled me on that one. I gotta give you credit on that. That was like Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Yes, I heard about that fight. It lasted 2 minutes.
Well, it lasted more than 2 minutes. I think it was just boring.
Well, that's why I don't watch sporting events.
That's why? What do you say, me? What about me and you go to a baseball game? How about that?
No, I don't go to sporting events.
No, we'll go. We'll just go. Two dudes hanging out in the Bronx. Right? Take me out to the ball game, yeah. Right? No?
No, I don't. Sporting events, no.
No?
I don't do sporting events.
What could we go to together, though? Because, look, we got to either. This is what I was thinking, my friend. And I call you my friend. I mean it. We're friends. You and me, what about this? I get two microphones and a portable recorder. I meet you somewhere. We do just a one-on-one interview. Not on the air. We do it just in private. And you give me the lowdown, every dirty detail of everything.
I've already done that.
Wait, when did you do that?
On the air.
No, this would be the real stuff.
Well, I always give you the real stuff.
You tell me where the bodies are buried.
Oh, no, the bodies are buried.
Yeah. But what could we go to together? If we wanted to start hanging out, should we go to, like Joe's Pub? Where could we go?
I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Should we go see Bridget Everett live?
No.
No? Okay. What if we see the guy who did the Charlie perfume commercial? Remember that guy? Jazz piano?
He's dead.
He's dead? What was his name?
He's dead for 20 years.
What was his name?
Bobby Short. He's been dead for 20 years.
Oh, boy. I better see about getting a refund on these tickets then. StubHub should guarantee these, right? I bought them off StubHub for you and me. Front row. An evening with the guy who did the Charlie perfume commercial. That's what it says on the tickets. Somebody on the chat said, what if me and you start hanging out? We drive around like those two dudes in that Sonic commercial, right? We just start driving around going to Sonic's. What do you think about that?
Think about that one.
What can we do? We gotta figure something out. Karaoke? Would you do karaoke?
No.
Why not?
I don't sing.
You don't sing? Well, then they do like a Neil Diamond song or something. He talks, sings, right?
I don't know.
Then what can we do? Tell me something we could do together.
I have to think about that one. I can't think of anything right now. I'm old.
Well, Spike,
my mind doesn't work as good as it used to.
I'm going to tell you this, Spike. Please keep calling. You know I miss you, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
Oh, I don't like this bound, this shift of power I'm not crazy about. But I'll acknowledge it. You're in charge. I'm not. Yeah. Do me a solid and keep calling, okay, buddy?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, you're done. Goodbye. Oh, boy. Wow. All right. A couple minutes will bring Yola Tango in, but I told you this. I mentioned it on the email. We send the Best Show email out every Tuesday. And if you're not getting it, you go to thebestshow.net. You sign up for the list. You'll get sent a fun email every Tuesday telling you what's up. Like tonight, they'll tell you the hashtag. They'll tell you the hashtag. The hashtag for tonight's show is Best Show La Tango. Get it? Marsha came up with that. That was Marsha came up with that. Very good. Thank you, Marsha. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi there. My name is Charlie Morgan. I was calling in to add to the dispute, if there still is one, about who is playing Thomas Pynchon, or who does Thomas Pynchon appear in Inherent Vice. He does not, and the person, the doctor, getting impatient with the lady with the shaky hand trying to serve soup, that was me.
That was you?
Yes, I appeared earlier in a short clip in the Master, and I'm a friend of Paul Thomas Anderson's, and it's been great. But I have not had the pleasure of meeting Thomas Pynchon. I wish that I would someday.
You're going to love him.
And he doesn't appear in the movie.
Not at all?
No, he does not.
That's a red herring.
Thomas Pynchon cameo.
That's a red herring. So he did not appear at all?
No, not at all.
But how would you know?
Well, because I talked to Paul Anderson about it.
Uh-huh.
It was Paul Anderson who told me that there was this confusion about me possibly being him.
Look, I'm going to need to talk to you a lot more. Seriously, but tonight's unfortunately we have a full show tonight. Not unfortunately, fortunately we do.
All right. The other thing I wanted to add, and we can talk about it later. I got the impression I knew you had an actress coming on. I figured it was not going to be a good night. But also, my dad was Harry Morgan, and I'm very proud of him.
Hold on a minute.
And I want to know what's up with my daughter's telling me that you guys have called for MASH to be taken off the air.
No, that's not true at all.
I want to know what's up with that.
Not true at all. I'll tell you the story. First of all, I'm going to just say my apologies to Yola Tango. You've been bumped tonight by Harry Morgan's son.
No.
We will reschedule them at a later date. But everybody sit back and get ready for 2 hours and 20 minutes of a conversation I've been waiting to have for my entire life. Now, sir, what was your name again? I'm so sorry.
My name is Charlie Morgan.
Charlie Morgan.
C-H-A-R-L-E-Y.
Okay. Well, the thing is, and I'm going to give it to you straight.
Please.
I will. Some of these listeners, and look, the people who listen to the show, on the whole, it's a good sort. Good people.
Yeah.
What a lot of you showbiz types call flyover country, this is where those people are from.
Those are good people.
They are good people. Heartland. Farmers.
Yeah.
Truck drivers. Toll booth operators. You know, where would the country be without them, right? You know what I mean?
I agree, absolutely.
But amongst that group of people is a very sad, cynical lot of, there was this movement that started. This caller called, and he was like, "We got to delete MASH." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Delete it." Like, what do you mean, delete MASH? And he was like, "We've seen too much of it. Delete it." And I'm like, "No, first of all, you can't delete it. That's an impossibility, right?"
I hope, yeah.
I get you. I know why you don't want MASH going away, right?
I don't want to go in a way, but I think it has a lot of positive attributes. One of them is, you know, I have a couple of friends from Mexico who've been up here trying to learn English like crazy, and they watch MASH in a dubbed version in Mexico, and now they're up here trying to improve their English, and there's a lot of intelligent dialogue that goes on in that show. It's a great, and I think for American kids as well, it kind of stretches your, you know, your vocabulary and your ability to think coherently. And
to play devil's advocate, though, Charlie, now you are going to have a fair amount of people of immigrants walking around doing Groucho Marx impressions. Right? And saying horse hockey.
You know, I'm in California. There's about 80% of the people that are immigrants here are either Mexican or Central American. They don't specialize in Groucho Marx stuff.
You've clearly done voice work.
Stuff.
You've done voice work in your life, have you not, Charlie?
I have.
You have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
What type of voice work have you done? Have you ever said, like, "Well, I never"? Have you ever said that in a VO job when you're in the booth?
No, you know, the voice work I've done has been in connection with movies. I did some voices in Lincoln. And I also appeared as an extra in Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Yeah, the Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't? Are you kidding?
Nah.
One of the best movies ever. You learn a lot about Lincoln watching that movie.
Look, I know how it ends. That's all I got to say.
You know what I mean? For sure.
You watch a movie like that, the problem I have, Charlie, I watch a movie like that, all I see is everyone's dead. That's all I see. They're all dead. Why bother?
Well, come on, there's some lead up to that, and there's some inspiration for the living that come out of events, even though the people died.
Don't you ever like a new movie, though? You know what I mean? Like a skateboard flick, you know? The stuff kids
are into.
You
know, that's not really my deal. I'm a grandfather. I did try to show my children the proper way to maneuver a skateboard. I'd had a couple of glasses of wine, and it was a quick trip to St. John's Hospital.
Uh-oh. What happened?
And I was very embarrassed.
You didn't get hurt.
The doctor said, you know, you think you're bad off. Wait till you see the grandpas that are in here trying to do the same thing you did. Well, now I'm a grandpa, so skateboarding is, you know, even further in the past. It wasn't in the past for me. I mean, skateboarding happened afterwards. I was already an adult.
Now, Charlie... Mr. Morgan, I'm going to call you Mr. Morgan. I have not earned the right.
You can call me Charlie if you want.
Okay, fair enough. I'll call you Charlie. I would like to speak to you more on a future program, but tonight I have to get to my guests.
I hear you. Am I talking? Are you Thomas?
I am Thomas, yes.
Golly, my daughter, Catherine Morgan Hatch, speaks so fondly of you. She says you're a very nice person. And you still manage to maintain an entertaining show without being rude to people.
Well, sometimes you can pull it off. You know, it's a tightrope act. You know, you look at the culture a lot. You got a lot of rude people out there. It's either you're funny but you're rude, or you're interesting but you're Either you're funny or you're rude, or you're polite but boring.
Yeah, but you can also be rude and be boring. I mean, I've had
well, that's
that
true, too. You should see the guy who screens calls for me.
Well, listen, Thomas, can we schedule a time, or do you want to get back to me? I can give you my contact.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, sir, Mr. Morgan. And I'm going to go back to calling you Mr. Morgan.
Jesus.
Yes, please. Look, I don't want you to give your details out over the air, but are you on social media by any chance?
I'm not really. I mean, I do have a Facebook thing, but I never go to it.
Okay, well, I'm gonna. There's got to be a way, Mike.
It's there, and I can go if I need to.
Sir, I'm gonna put you on hold, and Mike can get your contact information. How about that? We'll try that.
Terrific. Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mike, can you see if you get his info? I'd like to bring my guests in, if that was at all possible, if they are here. What's that now? It's locked. Okay, how about now? There we go. Oh, Charlie Morgan, what do you think about that? Do we get a Pat? Hun, can you grab a third chair?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
It's not the happy flowers. It's Yellow Tango. There's three of them. It's not Mr. Airplane Man. I don't know why I'm... Well, Pat's been working so hard here all night, and the first thing I do is just take shots at him. Why? He can call back. Look, I'm hanging up. I just hung up on him. Look, do I really want to talk to that guy again? Honestly. Seems like a nice enough guy. Charlie, yes. Charlie Morgan?
That was amazing.
I think there's a mic. There's that one there.
Yes.
Then there's a third one there, and there's a second one there. Look at that. It is exciting to welcome to the studio. Thank you, Pat. Yola Tango, we have Ira Kaplan, frontman. Not frontman, it's like it's...
Gigantic Harry Morgan fan.
Giant, yeah, your mind was blown there, right?
Slightly.
He sounded like...
Can't do it. You don't have to do it. We're not playing. I'm not gonna sandbag you and play like sound effects. And you're wrapped in the headphones. You've been in the studio before. How is this happening? It's like the first time you've ever seen headphones, Georgia. It's like you've made 19 albums, and I'm assuming you had to wear headphones at some point during them. I think you're gonna have to go way up on that mic.
Yes,
you're gonna have to go.
Here I am.
Rollins style, the way up. And okay. Don't sweat through the mic either, the way Rollins did. We don't have replacement mics like he has.
Very nice microphones.
And we have Ira and Georgia and James. How are you?
Good, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming down. This is so exciting.
Thanks for having us out. The place is amazing.
Oh, thank you. And this is the... who have we had here? We've had Julie Klausner came down and Yola Tango. It's a short... list.
I'll take that.
So, you guys, and guys, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Way up on it.
Okay,
on.
Sorry.
There we
sorry.
Go. There's a new Yola Tango album coming out, which the word just hit the streets on that this morning, right?
Yes.
Nodding doesn't help on
yes.
the radio, James.
Today.
I know.
Tuesday. The 2nd of
yes.
June.
And the album is called Stuff Like That There. But nodding doesn't help on the radio.
We'll correct you when you're wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Never okay.
Nod. Oh, so it's...
He's nodding all the time.
It's one of those yes. interviews. We're just like, okay, they haven't...
I'm still kind of reeling from that, the spike... call. So as you're speaking, I was like, go on. I'm interested. Yes.
He was so withholding to me on that. Have you ever, like, he was like.
You talked about him on national yeah. TV.
We had 4.5 minutes, and I gave, and, yeah. I gave one of them up to him.
Oh, my gosh.
He was, what a. But he was so. Entitled on that call. I'm intrigued. Get mentioned on TV. I'm intrigued. Go on. Like, oh, jeepers. Maybe we can. It's like a used car salesman. Like, what's it going to take to get you to care about this thing, sir? No, he did not give it up
well,
on that
what
call.
What song did you recommend singing? Together? No, maybe not together.
I don't think
Neil Diamond.
Oh, yeah,
no,
Neil
he
Diamond.
Could do. Yeah, yeah. He could do like the talk okay. singing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Atlantis.
He could do Atlantis, right?
Oh, yeah.
picture him doing Atlantis, right?
Open letter to my teenage son.
The Americans, a Canadian's opinion. You ever hear that record?
No. What is
it's
that?
It's one of the weirdest records ever, where it's like early 70s. It's some dude who's like, I am a Canadian. Like one of those like, like that's the background music. And he's just like, as a Canadian, my brothers to the south have really taken it on the chin lately. And he's like, I'm sick of seeing America get kicked around like this. Like, it's like one of those angry talking records that those don't exist anymore. Hey, Pat, could you throw the air on a little bit in here? Thank you. See, this guy Pat is doing everything tonight.
How do you pronounce, is it Desiderata? Is that what, Les Crane?
What is that now?
That was the thing that they mocked in Lemmings. They turned it into that you were a fluke of the universe was in Lemmings, and it was. I don't know. That's what it's spelled like. It's probably what it's called.
Okay.
You don't know that
is
record?
That Lemmings, the National Lampoon thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was not into that. I don't know. National Lampoon never
Chevy
did it for
Chase
me.
Really.
No, not the
that funny.
No,
it was from National Lampoon Lemmings.
The Lemmings, but I never. You know, the problem is it
John
never.
John Belushi.
It didn't translate when you like. It's like you hear an album and you're just like. It's like when you listen to like a Steve Martin album, and all of a sudden it's just like. He moves. He's clearly doing something, and you hear all this roar of laughter. Yeah. It's like, this isn't translating. Those National Lampoon albums felt like nothing but that to me. Like those cast albums of. Those things? No? Am
just,
I alone?
No, it's like nodding.
It's like the nodding of... Yes. So for what I'm... When I listen to...
In the room, it's yes. Killing.
I saw it live. I saw it at where it is now, Le Poisson Rouge.
There's actually a show going up. No.
No. It was at the
I
Village
do not
Gate.
I know what you're talking about.
After Lightning Bolt a couple weeks ago, they moved it out. Move everybody back from Lemmings, move them right back in.
Makes a lot of sense.
So you saw that? That was the final of those live shows they had, mounted.
And in fact, I saw the final one of the final performance of National Lampoon Lemmings.
And then they all got cherry picked and over to SNL.
I think they actually went on tour then. They were announcing they were going on tour.
Okay.
So it must have been. But yes, Chevy Chase, John Belushi, mm-hmm. Christopher Guest was no longer in the cast when I saw it. He had mm-hmm. moved on.
But that's awesome. But then you had the complete experience.
Yes.
See, that's what it feels like with. This is what I think I'll never appreciate, like jazz, the way like people appreciate. Jazz, when you think about, like, if you went and saw, like, John Coltrane, it would be, like, the most deafening thing you've ever heard, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're missing the force of what it was when it's only on record. Like, if you were seeing him live, that must have been, like, getting punched in the face with a saxophone. Because like, it was probably
that's
so
probably
loud.
Probably exactly like that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just imagine what it would have been like to sit there. Your chest would have been vibrating with the sound waves. Does you know what I mean? You know what it's like to feel like, why can't I go all the way with appreciating something? You know what that's like? It's just like you try and you try and you can't get there. That's what it's like with the Grateful Dead. I've tried.
You have not.
No, I have totally tried.
Oh, no.
All right, you two out. We're going to finish this.
No, I have totally tried.
I've totally tried.
Okay.
Everybody, listen to Anthem of the Sun, the remixed version. This is the one that didn't. This is a different mix. Fine, I'll hear. Listen to it. Sounds like a Bad Birds record, right? Sound like the Birds if they all played and nobody talked to each other about when to stop playing. If they were all like in separate sound booths and the Birds all started playing, guess what song we're all going to play? And they all guessed, and half of them guessed one song, and the other half guessed a different one.
And you're telling me that doesn't sound good, even as you're saying.
No, I'm saying that's what I wish it sounded like that. So this album that's coming out, stuff like that there. This album is like you had an album Fake Book, not I almost said Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you deal with that a lot now?
We're going to.
I like your album Facebook.
Yeah, so your album Fake Book was, that was like, how long ago was that? Like almost like 20 years at this point?
25 years.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. And that was you guys stripping it down, right?
Yes.
And doing a bunch of cover songs that were meaningful to you.
We did a bunch of covers. I mean, mm-hmm. Some of them, they were songs. We've tried to unsuccessfully argue against how meaningful the songs necessarily were. We thought we played them nicely.
Okay.
They weren't necessarily, a tribute to our favorite songs.
Sure. So they were songs that you felt you could interpret in an interesting way.
Nod.
That gets a nod. I'll take it. Woo! Hey, Mike. I got a nod on that one. Mark that down. Ira gave me a nod. So, and now this is some version of revisiting that?
Yeah, it's probably exactly a version of revisiting it. Okay. We got Dave Schramm to play guitar the way he did on Fake Book. Gene Holder recorded the record. He recorded Fake Book. And James made the... Herculean, whatever that is,
Herculean
effort to learn the upright bass. So that was Al Greller played it on Fake Book, and James plays it on Stuff Like That There.
Wow. So you took it on.
I did.
The stand-up bass. The giant thing you got to lug everywhere.
Yeah. It was, in many ways, a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. And what was that first time you're just like, yeah, why did I say that that sounded like a good idea? What was the first moment when you realized that?
Before you even took possession of it.
Yeah, before I even took possession of it.
As we were trying to get it out of Logan Airport.
Yes. It's kind of the way I think about it is it's kind of like buying a boat.
Okay.
And it's like, I bought a boat. This is great. It's like, now I got to find a place to keep the boat. And then you got to get boat stuff. Yeah. And
a road case for the boat.
Yeah, and a road. Yeah, got to put the boat in a case of some kind if you want to take it anywhere. Because I just want to play the songs.
Yeah, once in a while.
What am I doing? Yeah. It's like frets are I totally get why the electric bass was invented. It's a great idea. It's the perfect size. It goes like right here in front of you. You just put it over your shoulder, and it's got like dots and lines to tell you exactly where the notes are and stuff. It's like, man, you don't miss them until they're gone.
When we go on tour, we should put the upright bass behind us and just play the electric bass. That would be great.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm being told that there is a caller here that I should take this call. Oh, it's gone. What I was told, I've been untold that. So when does the album come out?
August 28th.
August 28th. And this is, are you going to do a big tour for it?
We are. We're going to go, Dave is going to go on tour with us. James is still undecided whether he'll just put the bass on stage and play electric bass or play upright bass. But yes, we're going to play a little bit, not a large tour, but we are.
And when you put this album together, Stuff Like That There, which is on Matador, yes?
Yes.
It comes out the end of August. People can pre-order it now? Can they pre-order it?
I believe so.
I believe they can.
And by the way, I'm going to take, as a sidebar, I just have to tell the people listening to the show this. Sharpling and Worcester, we did live shows in New York. 4 shows at the Bell House, 4 sold-out shows at the Bell House. We did a show in Chicago, sold-out show. We're doing more shows. I'm going to tell you those dates in a couple minutes. 4 cities. We're going to announce 4 cities tonight in which we will be performing. So, yes, the album comes out end of August. when you're putting it together, track wise, did you approach it differently, knowing that you had than you had done the last time 25 years ago?
Did we approach it differently than we approached the last one? A little bit. The last one was maybe entirely comprised of songs we already knew. In the late 80s, George and I used to go to radio stations, college radio stations, and bring a guitar to, so as soon as the interview hit a dead spot, which was typically seconds after we arrived, we could, instead of answering the question of what city, we actually had the experience of walking down the street in Iowa City once, overhearing the people in front of us making fun of us for the lame interview we had just concluded doing. And they weren't wrong. So we got into the habit of bringing a guitar with us, and Georgia would sing and I would sing. And so we had a long list of songs that we did that way, and Fakebook was almost entirely drawn from those songs. This time, we still had a lot of songs that we played in the last 25 years, but maybe half of them were things that we decided to learn for this record. We didn't, so that was different.
Now I'm being told to go to the phones that somebody has a question for you here.
Oh, good.
On the best show. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi. Who is this?
This is Superfan Billy. I'm originally from Newbridge.
Okay.
I used to see YLT all the time back in the tri-state area, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. But I ended up having to move to outer upper Alaska.
Okay.
For reasons I cannot and will not get into on a family CB radio show, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not a CB radio show. A billion,
sure it is. But, you don't have to say that.
Oh, well, look, it's not. But what was the purpose of the call?
Oh, wait, hang on. Crap. I have to let my dog out. He's got a tinkle really bad.
Uh-huh.
He's got to squeeze it up pretty bad. Hold your horses, Private Doberman. I'm coming.
Uh-huh. What's the name of your dog?
Private Doberman.
Private Doberman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a funny name for a dog.
You don't get it?
No.
We get it.
You run a family CB radio show, and you don't know what Private Doberman is in reference to?
What? Just Ira said he knows what it is. What is it, Billy?
I hope he does. Well, it's Yola Tango's track on the Luxury Condos call. You Yola dummy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's also the comp that gave us Gut Bank and Mr. Bonus.
It gave, yes.
Hello?
Hello, yes. No, everybody's here. And Yola Tango are here in studio, actually. You didn't know that?
No.
So you were just calling to talk about Yola Tango. You didn't know they were here.
No.
Oh, well. Guess what? They are here.
What a bountiful night this is, Tom.
It is a bountiful night.
It's quite bountiful, would you not say?
I would say it's very bountiful.
Okay, well, look, I have a question for Ira.
Okay.
Okay, Ira, hello, I'm a huge fan.
Hi.
Here's a question. You used a very different singing style on The Way Some People Die and 5 Years. And I was wondering if you would ever or could ever go back to that style.
No, those songs were sung by Dave Schramm, who played lead guitar on that album, Ride the Tiger. I didn't sing those songs.
Oh, this is quite embarrassing for moi. That's French for me.
Uh-huh. So that was the answer for your question, Billy.
Okay. Well, I have a second question.
Oh, okay.
Guys, do you think the Capo song will ever see the light of day?
I think it did, actually.
It did? Because I love the demo I heard on YolaBoots.org.
YolaBoots.org?
Uh-huh. You don't know about YolaBoots.org?
I didn't, no.
If memory serves, the Capo song was our working title for a song, for the song Fog Over Frisco. So, yes, it saw the light of day.
I didn't know that. What's it on?
That is Yola Tango, and cool. Genius plus Love equals Yola Tango.
Oh, I have all of those. Oh, no!
What?
Oh, no.
What happened, Billy?
Oh, Dave!
What? Mike. What happened?
Conley, come here. Oh, no. Booty, where'd you go?
Wait, what's going on?
Where's Jamie? Oh,
Billy, Billy.
I think I saw Wilbo just run over there. Oh.
What's going on? What's going on, Billy? Yeah?
This is a disaster. Private Doberman knocked over my ferret cage and all the ferrets scattered.
Uh-huh. All your ferrets?
Yes.
You have a whole bunch of ferrets?
I do. Oh, there's Wolf. Greller, come here.
Wait, what are all these names you're saying?
They're the names I gave to my ferrets. Why?
Instead of shouting them, can you just say the names of the ferrets?
Oh yeah. Well, there's Dave Rick, Mike Lewis, Clint Conley, Voody. I have one called Chris Stamey. I have one called Wilbo. Who else? Vickers, Robert Vickers, of course. I have one named Tony Mamone. My oldest one is Wolf Knapp. I've got one called Tim Harris, and of course Al Greller.
And what are these names?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, because I know some of those names. I mean, like, there are some I know: Clint Conley and Chris Stamey and Dave Rick. I mean, those are people who've been associated with Yola Tango.
Duh. I named my ferrets after the great men who manned the thug staff for the mighty YLT.
Uh-huh. So, well, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard, is that you have a whole lot of ferrets, and they're all named after Yola Tango bassists.
People have done weirder things on Earth, don't you think?
Well, I'm sure, but it's up there. I heard you named all those ferrets. Is there a ferret, a James McNew ferret?
Are they okay?
I can't find them.
You can't. So they just scattered.
They're scattered.
Uh huh. Well, is there a James McNew ferret?
Who?
James McNew, who's the bassist in Yola Tango. Since what, like 1991?
Yeah,
right.
1991.
Oh, right. Yes. No. That guy's still on Bass Bation.
Wait, Bass Bation. What is Bass Bation?
Bass probation. Why?
Well, what is? I don't know what bass probation is. What is that?
Oh, well, bass probation is when a bassist is really good and well-liked also, but the other people in the band are kind of unsure if he or she will try to kill them in the middle of the night. So they don't fully commit to actually having the person be on full-time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nate Mendel and Peter Hughes are still on bassion to this day.
Peter Hughes from the Mountain Goats.
Exactly, yeah.
And that the other guys in the Mountain Goats are worried that he's going to murder them?
I think they are afraid that he's going to smother them with his pocket squares.
Okay, that's a fair concern, actually. And who's the other guy? Nate Mendel?
From the Foo Fighters. The other guys are still concerned that he holds his bass too high.
He does hold his bass very high.
Yeah.
Like, that's like... Herman's Hermit's High, right?
I think it is too. Yes, yeah.
Like, that's like the OC's high.
Yeah. I mean, Voody held his high, but you know, he had a certain strut that he did.
A certain strut.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Well, I don't know what to tell you, Billy.
Mm. Mm. Hey.
Yeah.
I've got a couple more questions for the group, if I may.
Sure. Let's. What do you got?
Okay, well, my question is two-pronged.
Okay.
Two-pronged.
First, I was curious if Gooseneck Problem would ever be turned into a musical or a play or a film.
Okay, the song Gooseneck Problem
That song, yes.
Would it ever be turned into, what, a musical?
Yeah.
Or a play?
Or a play. Or a film.
Or a film.
Yeah.
It's possible. We haven't, not currently, no current plans along those lines, but possibly. I can see why you would ask.
Right. Well, it's got a great hook, and I think it tells a story that we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, right. What's the second?
Oh, I dropped my wallet.
What's that?
I dropped my wallet.
You dropped your wallet? Is it near the ferrets by any chance?
I wish. Oh, wait. I'm under my bed now. I can kind of see.
Okay.
Oh, there's Stamey. I can see. Oh, yeah. Come here, guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, he went further away.
Billy, what was the second prong to this?
Oh, the second prong of my question is, YLT, your biggest single to ever chart on the Billboard chart was Barnaby Hardly Working. I believe it made it to number 35 in 1989, edging out the Bee Gees' then-current single, Girl, I Can't Believe You Told Me That Stuff, Bitch.
Okay.
And while I consider Barnaby too country for my tastes, the movie from which the song title comes is, in fact, my favorite film of all time.
What's that?
Your favorite film. George just asked what film.
Hardly Working.
Hardly Working?
Yes.
That's the Jerry Lewis movie?
That's his best movie.
It's not his... It's his last dumb movie, right? It's like
you're
the last...
I believe it's his second to last, right?
Like after...
Isn't there one more... like, we saw that one. We saw the...
With the King of Comedy? No,
no
that's
no,
a
no.
good
he
movie.
He made one more of it. One more Jerry Lewis movie.
Hell's a Poppin'?
Oh, Blackpool Nights?
what was it?
Blackpool Nights.
Was it Blackpool Nights?
There was another one. I can't remember the name of it, unfortunately. It was,
oh.
I can't believe that's your favorite movie.
Why wouldn't it be? I'll tell you, it's the movie that helped me get over the stuff I told you about that I couldn't tell you about at the beginning of the call.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's,
I'll tell you, I love the movie so much that I have a multi-panel tattoo on my back and upper and lower haunches of the scene where Jerry, as Barnaby, is waiting to start his first day on the job as a mailman.
Wait, you have a tattoo of that on your back?
I sure do.
Uh-huh.
And also my upper and lower haunches.
Okay. Your upper and lower haunches.
Yeah, it's okay. Really good. The first panel is Barnaby sitting down at the desk. And the second panel is the postmaster reading his newspaper, and he's totally ignoring Barnaby. And the third panel is Barnaby seeing the big box of Dunkin' Donuts on the postmaster's desk. And then the fourth panel is the postmaster continuing to ignore Barnaby.
Uh-huh.
And then the fifth panel.
Yeah.
It's Barnaby drooling over the box of donuts. And then the sixth panel. This is where it starts on my upper haunches.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
It's the postmaster, and he's engrossed in the newspaper. He's flipping a page. And then the seventh panel.
The seventh panel.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's Barnaby starting to run his finger around the perimeter of the box of donuts.
Uh-huh.
And then the eighth panel. It's the postmaster looking away from his newspaper to see Barnaby longingly touching a donut. And then the ninth panel.
Yeah.
It's the postmaster asking Barnaby if he'd like a donut.
Yeah.
And then the tenth panel. This is where it's on my lower haunch.
Yeah.
It's Barnaby yelling, "Where are they?"
Wait, I cannot believe that you have 10 panels?
Yes.
Tattooed on you.
I sure do.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see if Yola Tango can put me in touch with Jerry so I can get him to carve his signature in my back with an X-Acto knife.
Is any connection to Jerry Lewis so that he could mutilate this guy further? I guess you could say mutilate him further.
Hey,
sadly, no.
For the last time.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Billy.
I even had the opportunity to shake Gary Lewis's hand once and did not, unfortunately, get a contact for Jerry at that time.
Or He didn't. You didn't ask him to do anything to you with an X-Acto knife, Gary Lewis, did you? Well,
we'll say that for another time.
The nod.
Oh, maybe that's pretty cool. Oh no!
What?
Oh my God, no!
What?
Is it Stamey?
Straight out of science fiction. Oh my God! The ferrets have all jumped on Private Doberman's back, and they've formed a disturbing mutant half ferret, half Doberman, 6/10 party machine doodle boop.
Doodle? What is a doodle boop?
Look, it's the only word that can accurately describe this creature, Tom. It's sick.
I don't know what to tell you, Billy.
Oh my God! Oh no!
What?
Oh, it's coming closer.
Yeah.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
Wait, what was that?
Oh my God!
What?
Oh, what? Oh no! This is insane! What is going on?
Wait, where are those horns coming from?
Oh my God! The doodle boop has two horns. And it's gnawing my sack off.
Oh, okay. Ugh. Are you all right? He's gone. Oh, my goodness. Well, how about that, huh?
It has two horns.
It had two horns. The doodle boop had two horns.
The doodle boop had two horns.
Hey, Mike. How you doing out there? Good? How deep are you? Three Coors Lights in. That's a good night. What's that now? Am I worried? I'm always worried. Okay. So, the name of the album.
Mixed Nuts? Could that be the last Jerry Lewis movie?
That might be. Is that like a Madeleine Kahn? I picture Madeleine Kahn being in it.
That feels right.
But Hardly Working seems like the last one where he was pretending to be 19 years old when he was like 65 and he's like pretending that he's just like he should be by all rights starting to consider like retirement, but he's like now trying to get his first job.
Yeah, Big Lollipop probably. Yeah.
It's got like an Oh That Rusty kind of vibe to it from SCTV, one of the all-time great characters. Let's see what people have to say here on the Twitter. And you guys are on Twitter at The Real YLT.
That's right.
Do the three of you have the password? Who has the password for that?
We all have the password.
All three. Okay. Anybody else? No? All right. Fair enough.
No, not.
May I have the password?
Yeah. Sure. Nobody ever asked before.
Can Billy have the password? What if you gave it to that guy? And just let him.
He'll just name a ferret after him.
Yeah. So, and you're on as at Dumpland.
Right.
Yes. Because you, James, I don't have you on Bassbation like that guy did. You're a full-fledged member.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks.
What was that? Bass?
Like probation, but bass with probation. Bass. Like bass okay. Probation, yes. So
it's a real thing.
I see.
So do you remember when we put that, the first Dump single I put out on my record label?
Yes.
And then, like, we were like painting and drawing on them because it was like each cover was hand designed.
We had a great idea. Let's hand color 1,000 record sleeves.
And there's
let's do it today.
There was a point where it was like, yeah, this is not fun anymore.
Later that day.
At all. Like, yeah.
Three records.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm done.
First one, you're just like, all right, here we go. Doing all this. Yeah. Let me cut some things out of the newspaper, start gluing them all over, do like a kind of collage thing, then I'll put some watercolors on top. Next one, just draw an X and like a red marker. Yours has an X on the cover.
There you go.
The record's the same. What are you?
Technically hand-colored.
Yeah. Yours is special. It's the least designed of all of them.
You're welcome.
So.
Well, that was a good, those were the kind of things that were great ideas back then.
Yeah.
Here's a great idea.
Yeah.
Not a great idea.
No, could you imagine doing that now? Oh, my God. No. But you did that. You did a book. You've done all your drawings.
Well, I Xeroxed them. Oh, man, that's so awesome.
It's up there. See?
Hey. It's right next to that beautiful painting of you.
Yes, Amy Mann did that painting.
That's awesome.
And there's a mouse with a cape someone did.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Gary the squirrel hovering. He's always hovering. So, yeah, that would never happen now. But you have this book. You've done two volumes of your drawings.
And there's one more volume to come, and then it'll be all finished.
And they are you doing, what is it called? I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the exact title right now.
It's called 100 Wild Styles.
And it's you doing your drawings of your characters.
My characters, my little people.
Rabbit well, man.
Not people.
Right.
Little animals. Yeah.
The animals. And people can get the books where?
Hard to say. I've people have contacted me on Twitter, and that's worked out pretty well. They're at a few shops here and there. The other music record shop in New York, is a good place to snag them.
Okay. They're great. People should get them.
Thanks.
So when you guys title an album, right? Like this stuff like that there. I keep thinking I'm saying it wrong. Ugh. Driving me nuts. Like, how do you guys end up with a giant list of titles and you whittle it down? Or does the title just pop right in your head and you just know that's the title?
I don't think we've ever had a list of titles. It's more like an, oh my God, we need a title. I'd kill for a list of titles.
Yeah, I mean, to be candid, we very much did not want to call this record Fake Book 2 or Son of Fake Book, Bride of Fake Book, any of those. And it took us a long time to come up with a title that did not incorporate that word. So when we did, we went straight to the pressing plant.
Sure. And then you were just like, it was just sitting there. And then finally, the titles revealed. Like a new pope, the smoke changes.
Yeah. Yep,
at the Vatican, on Matador Records, the smoke changes out of their chimney. That famous Matador Records fireplace. I guess is that a fireplace that's going to in the Vatican? Right,
hibachi.
It's a hibachi. So what is he doing? Is it like the volcano? Like, is somebody in there doing like the tricks when you go to like. Hibachi, and they're just like, they cut the onions, and then they put the thing that the flame shoots out. Oh, these hibachi guys got to work up some new stuff. You know what I mean? Chop an onion and stack it.
It's been a long time since I've had the... actually, one of the great nights out of my young life was my dad and one of his friends taking me and one of my friends to... What's the Japanese restaurant where they cooked in front of you?
Benihana.
Went to Benihana and then to the NBA All-Star game.
Oh, my God.
At the Old Garden where our seats, we could see the court, but we couldn't see the scoreboard because of the overhang.
Yeah.
It's great.
The 400th?
It must be. I probably saved the ticket stub for a long time, but.
What All-Star game was that?
I don't remember which one. A long time ago.
Do you remember someone? Was it Bernard King in it?
Oh no!
What years are we
just
talking?
The old Madison.
Oh, the old Madison. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
The Knicks were undoubtedly not yet good. This would be like the Dick Van Arsdale.
Not like
era.
Now.
Not like now.
Yeah,
with Cole Aldrich.
Mm-hmm. Get on board. It's going to be another fantastic season.
It's going to be 100 years of bad Knicks. How did that happen? It's like a plague was put on the Knicks that will never go away.
I think it was a curse of some kind. There's kind of no other explanation for it.
I don't know.
But at least now we got the liberty to enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, you can appreciate the liberty now, at least. I don't know two things about the liberty. One thing I do know is they're not going to be bad for 100 years the way the Knicks are. Because it's like Carmelo Anthony's going to be bad. They're not going to win anything with him. Then they're going to stink more. And then it's just going to cycle back through again. It's never going to change. Ever, right? Remember with the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Anthony Bonner. Remember Anthony Bonner?
Singing the national anthem.
I don't remember.
A beautiful voice.
Seriously?
Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, that's not Anthony Bonner.
Walter McCarty?
I think it might be Walter McCarty.
Beautiful. Like an angel.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice.
What's going to happen? Who is your favorite player on that team, James? I know yours is Charles Oakley.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Mason was a huge personal influence.
Yeah. Can you believe he's dead?
No, I can't. I can't believe anything would kill him. He just seemed like a Terminator.
Yeah.
He was on that J.B. Smoove show a week before.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was like a brick wall. When I was writing for basketball magazines, I would go to the Garden and interview people, and I saw Charles Oakley in the hallway once.
Whoa.
And he was the widest person I've ever seen. I'm telling you, it was like, yeah, he was big. Like, you'd see Patrick Ewing, it's like, yeah, there goes a 7-foot guy walking by. But Charles Oakley was so wide, it was unbelievable. It was like a wall. It was perfectly rectangular with moving legs off the bottom of it and a head on the top. It was like a Lego creation. Oh my God, he was so. Yeah,
Charles Oakley's Twitter account is really good. You get really kind of glimpses into him that you never thought were possible. He loves. I mean, I guess I knew for a long time that he loved to cook, and he had this reputation as being a great chef, but occasionally he just comes out. You just see him kind of having fun. He's just in his own way, but normal guy. And then he'll just come out and just it was a couple days ago talking about I feel bad for the Bulls. And it's those players are soft. They're never going to win.
Everything with him is how soft everybody
is. Seriously.
Now. Yeah. But then again, if you're that guy, you can talk about how soft everybody is. Now, Ira,
yes,
one of
Tom?
The things that you and I have talked about over the years is you interviewing Kiss in the 70s. Would you talk about that now? Is that off? Is that taboo?
Nothing is taboo. Everything's on the table tonight.
Oh, no.
I was a rock journalist, and I was offered the opportunity to go see Kiss and interview them. And unlike some of the people in this room, I didn't really care about Kiss, but I liked the idea of going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a very good rock journalist. So things like preparing for an interview I wouldn't even say it was beneath me. It probably didn't really occur to me that I should. I think I was just going to be in the moment. And
how'd that go?
So I stayed up all night. I went to see them, and the interview was the next day, and I stayed up all night and then went to the
hotel. We're
talking
about what year now?
I Was Made for Loving You, Dynasty,
so,
right?
Okay, so we're talking like, was that 78, 79?
Yeah. That sounds about right. And I stayed up the entire night, went to the hotel. Bill O'Coin brought me to the suite where the interview was going to take place. They came in not wearing makeup, which was very exciting. You really didn't have to. You'd have to really, really be uninterested in Kiss to not be excited to see them without makeup on.
Because by that point, the legend was fully in place, where there would be they would leave shows and stuff with bandanas tied around there.
And it was shocking. I mean, they really, he looked nothing like a kitty cat. I mean, it's incredible.
Kitty cat. So, which one's the kitty cat? I can't tell you guys apart with no makeup. That's, yeah, you look like the monster. What are you, the kitty? You're the kitty cat. So it's all four of them?
All four of them, and I probably asked a question, but I might not have asked a question. I just basically sat there like a very tired person who didn't care about the band. He was in the room to interview and didn't even have, like, the attitude to, like, and this is all you guys deserve. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was and they pretty quickly got tired of waiting for me to ask questions and just started talking among themselves. A large part of their conversation was about their extensive heroin use.
Allegedly.
And the place, well, this is what they were talking about. I'm not, you know. Tom has asked me for the cassette many times, and
I have. Someday.
It probably still exists, in joking about injecting heroin.
Have you tried to listen to it?
No.
Wait, right. that means you know where it is.
I don't.
I think I know where it is.
Do we?
I think I know where it is.
Can you show me where it is?
What if it was like what if you sold it, you press it up, right? Press up like one of those picture discs, like one of those European interview discs. Oh, right. You'd always like, I like the Stooges. I'll buy this thing. What?
You know,
talking?
I think it would actually be better as one of those things where where I get taken off the record and it just comes with a script. So the DJ gets to play the record and you provide the lack of a question.
Kiss minus one.
Yeah.
So they were just, so you sat there and were you nervous at that point? Or is it just, were you overwhelmed by the moment? Cause those things are shocking sometimes when you think you're going to skate and then suddenly it's like, oh, this is actually happening now.
Yeah. I probably was nervous. In addition to everything else, but it was also a very large suite where the interview was taking place. And when it started, the five of us were on one side of the room and Bill O'Coin and the publicist were, you know, giving us our space. And by the end of it, everyone's like huddling together. It was, you know, it was clearly a complete disaster. But I was so bad at the job I was doing that if I was better, it wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a middle ground where I should have just realized, well, just transcribe this stupid thing and print it. That's the story. Instead, I wrote some terrible article with, a couple of quotes from the interview. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's like when you write for these things. Suddenly you're just like, look, well, I get paid if I hand this in. I will. Okay. Then this is what I'm handing in. This is what you're going to work with. And that was New York Rocker?
No, that was the Soho News.
Okay. Soho News. And then shortly, how long were you in the game with that stuff? You got out shortly. You were like a few years later?
Yeah. When New York Rocker folded in, I think, 1981, I think, something like that, I didn't do very much after that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very good at it. It was a great way to get free records and free entry to shows and see Kiss without their makeup. But I certainly did not approach it with the zest of a 18-wheeler and suddenly.
Yeah,
that was, and suddenly it was James's fanzine. When did James first cross your radar, Georgia and Ira?
I believe we probably played together, I think James saw us before we actually met.
True.
Pretty sure.
Well, I would pretty much say that is a 1,000% certainty.
Distinct possibility.
That he saw Yola Tango before you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw you guys at Maynard's Wednesday night show. At,
New Wave Wednesday.
New Wave Wednesday. Charlottesville New Wave Wednesday at Trax. And I saw you open for the Feelies
at Trax.
I believe at Trax also.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yep. And then, but we would have met with when James played with Christmas.
Yeah.
And we were friends with Christmas. And
for people who don't know, Christmas was a cult that was operating out of Las Vegas at that point.
Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. Yeah. So out of Providence before the cult moved west.
Freshly yeah. moved from Vegas to Providence.
Okay. So the cult went east.
Started yes. out in Boston.
Started in yes. Boston.
Went to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you were in Las Vegas.
I was in Las Vegas for the very end, like the last couple of months, six weeks or 2 months, something like that.
Right. Okay.
You in Christmas was maybe the most complex thing I've ever seen three humans do in a band together, where that seemed like it was like the most precise thing imaginable.
I listened to the album that we made when I was in the band, mm-hmm. and I could hardly recall recording any of the parts that I did,
mm-hmm.
and just thinking it's like, man, that guy plays really fast,
yeah, yeah. Like, and he's singing at the same time also.
It's like I wouldn't
and wearing a suit.
And wearing a suit, yeah.
Yeah, the white suit.
The white suits, different outfits.
But the thing is, it's not, it's like, oh, listen to this crazy album where they played all the things. It's like, no, we do that live also. It's like, and there's that one radio tape I listened to 8 million times of you guys doing that album, the Vortex.
Right. We did that right before we went to the studio.
Yeah, and you basically played the album mm-hmm. as the album sounds.
And a couple of the songs that didn't make it onto the record are on that tape too.
Mm-hmm.
The Mutantes song I think is on there, and a couple mm-hmm. other originals.
Yeah. So he was in Christmas, and then you guys are like, look at this ringer, right? Is that what it was like? This guy's got it.
I don't remember exactly how it came up that you ended up that we asked you to play, or I don't you remember the details of that?
Well, when we played with Christmas, Gene Holder was playing bass with us, and Gene was very generously doing some shows, but he had no interest in traveling, and he was clearly doing us a favor. So we knew that if we ever wanted to play live more than once every month or two, we would have to find somebody to go on tour with us, and James misreading the situation offered jokingly that said, well, you know, I could, you know, if you ever need a bass player, call me up. And we're like, well, that's not a laughing matter. And like, we uh-huh. called him like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Phone number.
Yeah. And I think I remember talking to you on the phone where you're just like,
guess what?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play bass with Yola Tango. That was very exciting.
That's true.
And you know what's exciting is that it's like, of all the bands, it truly is one of the things, and it's for, you know, when you're just making things and you don't stop making things, you know, where you're hoping that this is what you do for a long time, there's just a certain amount of just like pride in everything you guys do where it's just like, everything is definitely, it's like not, there's no bad album. It's not like you guys work so hard on the stuff to just make sure it just like stays at that level, and it changes what the albums are change and what the band is changes. But it's just the level that you guys maintain. It's just like, it's truly, staggering. So I hope you guys know that.
Thanks, man.
Because it's just like, you look at anybody you like, and it's like, well, this stretch sucks by them. And then you're like, oh, this is my favorite bands. But, yeah, skip all of that part, and then they kind of get good again, maybe if you're super into it, but not if you're not really, if you're not super into it, then they just keeps going down. But it's like with you guys, it just has stayed at this level, and it's like, it's almost like you just like outwork it somehow. You know what I mean? Does it seem like that? Like, it's just like you don't settle. No nodding on this one. I don't want anybody to nod.
This is really more of a question for Billy than for
Billy. Yes.
And the ferrets.
But at this point, like, how hard do you guys work as a band to stay where you are?
I think we just work hard.
I think we work hard, yeah.
But I think it's just what we do. I think we, like, I mean, the last couple of days we've spent at our practice space, like, kind of finishing up some recordings that didn't get finished for stuff like that there, and we're finishing them up ourselves. Like, you know, we have like a little studio set up, and we just go to work, and we go and we sit there for several hours and mix things down, and in between that talk about sports and TV and stuff like that, and it's just kind of that's my idea of fun.
Yeah,
it's work, but it's but fun. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, that's awesome, because there's not a lot of bands. Sometimes when you're so deep into a thing, you don't realize it's like, oh, we're doing this differently than most of these other bands. Like, people check in, they check out, that things become like a, they just kind of fit the thing around their life rather than the thing being their life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you want it to stay great, it kind of has to be your life. And you guys don't dog it, which is something I always.
You're
admire.
Saying we have no life? Yes, that seems
more
fair.
Or less. No, I'm saying you lay it out there. You don't phone it in. It's not.
No, I appreciate
you're pushing.
That.
No, I appreciate you doing it. Look, I'm going to ask you some rapid fire questions here.
All right.
Let's see. Well, one thing is, what's a thing that you guys like? I know it's like, you don't, Ira, and you don't like Black Sabbath, right, Ira?
I barely listen to them. I've not spent any. I wouldn't say I don't like them, because that would imply I know more about them than I do.
Yeah, but you just heard that and you were just like, nope, or were you just like, I like other things and I don't have time for this?
Well, you know, you were talking about the Grateful Dead before, and I grew up in a real hippie town in Westchester, and the Grateful Dead were huge in that town, and it was sort of part of growing up where I did to become a fan of them, and so I did. And I remember seeing a copy of Paranoid. I don't know what a friend of mine was doing. It was like, War Pigs, ha, 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 ha. And then, of course, Kimberly Rue had a song with that name years later. It's like, genius. So, but it just wasn't something I was thinking about. And, you know, yes, that's right.
So what are the things like that, that each of you has your own thing and the other, where it's just like, the other two don't like this thing at all that I like?
Wow. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean...
Well, Georgia, do you like Black Sabbath? Are you...
I just don't really think about it or Sabbath.
Wait, you don't sit around thinking about Black Sabbath? Just like picturing Cloud Bubble with Geezer Butler in it.
There's that fantastic thing. I know you've seen it on... they always show it during That Metal Show. I know that probably you and me are the only two people in this room who watch that show. But they show, there's like a couple minute long animation of Tony Iommi telling the story of how he lost his fingertips.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It's really moving. And I think that's...
Cause he's like missing a finger like that.
A few fingertips on his fretting hand.
And then he just was
talking about that the other day.
It was amazing. It was really moving.
Like, for most people would be like, well, there goes my dream of playing guitar.
Yeah.
And for him, he's just like, I might be able to do this better than anybody in a weird way because I have less fingers.
Yeah. It ends up with him saying, like, so what started out as a really horrible thing turned out to be a really good thing.
Yeah.
They're like, wow. My mind was blown.
I wonder if kids are chomping their fingers all around the country. Like, this is Tony Iommi. Please, kids, do not chop your fingers off. You will not. Play like I've so you don't know what's a thing that you can't think of something that's just your thing.
I like Black Sabbath.
Okay. Well, there's yours.
No problem with Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Georgia.
What's my thing that I think they like everything I like, but I might not like everything they like.
Okay.
Is that detailed enough.
George is more selective.
Uh-huh.
Let me think about that.
All right. You move on. Sure. Ira, no?
What?
Is there a thing you like that the other two people in your band are just like, no, we don't like that?
I know I like listening to things repeatedly more than Georgia likes listening to things repeatedly. I was listening to the Basement Tapes today, and when I put on the third CD in a row, George was like,
wait, slam.
This thing's still on?
<It's> like, I'm tired of that guy.
Yeah.
Belly aching.
Let's see. Let me get some of these questions here. Get ready.
Okay.
And everybody, again, the album comes out August 28th. Stuff Like That There. And it's on Matador. And it's, I've gotten to hear it. I haven't, like nobody else has had time to spend time with it. But I have spent a little time with it. And it's really great. And it keeps the streak alive. The streak is alive. And, oh, I meant to say this. Sharpling and Worcester, we're playing live shows, speaking of alive. We will be, these tickets are going to go on sale, Friday, June 5th. Get ready. Where will we be playing? Well, first date. What day's your album come out?
August 28th.
The 28th. Well, the day before, August 27th, Seattle, Washington.
Oh.
Numos? That it? What's it called?
That I believe that's correct. That's the correct yes. pronunciation. Yeah.
Then.
I could be wrong.
August 29th, Saturday, Portland, Oregon. Mm. Doug Fur.
You're taking Friday off?
Yeah, we're not like Mike Watt. We are. As soft as
you're walking from Seattle to Portland,
just out all their shows.
Just
yeah.
two piles of vanilla ice cream, taking a day off to go from Seattle to Portland. What's the rush? What are we? We don't have three tractor trailers where we have to keep this thing making. We're going to lose $80,000 if we don't do a show on that Friday night. So again, the 27th of August, Seattle. Numos, the 29th, Portland, Doug Fir, then September 3rd, it's a Thursday, San Francisco, Great American Music Hall.
Oh, classic.
Right?
Yeah.
And then September 5th, Los Angeles, California, the El Rey Theater, Sharpling and Worcester mm-hmm. Live. Look at those dates. Four dates, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. All the tickets go on sale this Friday. June 5th at 10 a.m. And we will put the links up on the Twitter and all that. And people can go nuts for that. And I'm telling you, everything's sold out so far. Don't miss your chance. I don't want to hear anybody, I couldn't get in. You didn't. Nope. I will take pleasure in you hovering outside the El Rey Theater. Staring at the poster outside. We don't know. Staring at the marquee, right? Is there a marquee there?
Yeah.
Just stare at that marquee. Wish you could get in there. You can't. You had your shot. June 5th. Ticket Mania, man. Four shows. What do you think about those tour dates, huh?
That sounds great. Right?
Good West Coast swing.
I would go on that tour.
Thank you. And you guys are going to be playing. When does your tour start? When does your little tour start? When does your 45-date tour start?
I think the 23rd of September.
Okay. We'll warm them up for you.
So
people, again, June 5th, those tickets go on sale. And
so do you fly from city to city?
I don't know.
Need a tour manager?
We have a tour manager. But I don't know. What, am I going to start worrying about that now?
Does Mike tour manage you guys?
Mike? You're kidding? He's not allowed outside New Jersey. His ankle bracelet will go off. I got to stop with these ankle bracelet jokes.
All right, let's see here. Rapid fire questions. And you guys can pick who answers these. No nodding. That's the one rule. All right. Dumbest purchase you've ever made.
Shoes online. Wrong. They're just wrong. It's a bad, it's a terrible idea. Don't do it.
Okay. What's the most you've ever paid for a record?
I don't know the most. I just spent $15, which isn't the most, but this is a good purchase. I spent $15 on a song poem about the Mets.
Oh, from what year is that?
I think it's about the 1969 Mets.
Okay.
$15?
Yeah. No, I've spent more than that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Of course you have. 15? Can you imagine if you're just like, at this point, you're like, yeah, 15. It means you never bought like a current LP. Yeah.
Well, actually, that basement tapes thing, was a lot more.
And that's the, that's that box set where it's got everything on there.
Yes.
They didn't re-record anything. Do you ever see these Rolling Stones things where they're just like, I did new vocals for the thing. Well, I don't want that. Like, I need him now. Don't worry, I sang it in the style that I sang back then. Who cares? It's even worse. It's like, Mike, do you ever hear that stuff, Mike? The Exile on Main Street stuff where Mick Jagger's like, we had a couple instrumentals and I sang new vocals for them. Yeah. Could you imagine? I could not imagine wanting to hear anything less.
Did they release them just as instrumentals too, or no?
I don't know. I know they put them out as a part of like a collection of, who cares, yeah, Rolling Stones. Right. I don't ever need to hear that. You know, a song I never need to hear again is like any of those like Four Tops songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you ever need to hear like
My Girl?
Yeah, like My Girl. Like, is that the Temptations or the,
yeah.
Doesn't,
yeah, whoever.
Like Sugar Pie Honey Bunch? Can you imagine like I could never get to the point where it's just like, ooh, listen to how fresh that sounds. It's like, no, that is rotten sounding to me now. It's like this music that can get played anywhere, like literally anywhere you could hear Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. Oh, couldn't imagine ever putting that on. Is there anything like that
that
comes to mind?
Those are two different things. Like, I'm with you. I could never imagine putting it on, but if I were driving and listening to oldies radio, which I might be, I would not turn. That's not a song I would turn it off. I would turn it off for Mustang Sally.
You would turn off Mustang, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that. It's like, shut up. Like when these records, you actually like yell that you want, like, people who made this aren't hearing me get mad at it. So, Mustang Sally for that. Georgia, what's a song you never need to hear again?
Good at the fast.
Okay. Well, we'll go to James, and we're going to come back to you.
Mustang Sally is such a great answer.
Yeah.
In fact, it's such a good answer that it's just filled me with so much hate for Mustang Sally that I really kind of, I'm kind of blinded to my own answer. Mm-hmm. So I might have to go with that. We do start thinking quite a lot alike once we're traveling together. So
Creedence song I never want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Like, what song?
Which
Proud
one?
Mary?
Proud Mary.
That's the one.
Even though he says Toynin in it? And he's from Oakland, and he sings Toynin and Boynin? And Elvis doesn't say Toynin and Boynin. Yeah.
I think I was frightening my brother with my vehemence on this topic the other day. But did you see the medley, the Creedence medley that John Fogerty did on Letterman in the last weeks?
I did not. Was it bad or good?
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Oh, no.
So it was an effigy.
That would have been so much better.
Yeah. No kidding. No,
anyway. What if he just came out and did the other dude's songs from that one Creedence album?
Yeah.
Remember that one Creedence album where he's like, I'm so sick of being in this band with you losers. And then they're like...
Yeah, Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah. And his brother split already. And he's just like, the only way I'm doing another album with you guys is if I'll write one third of it, but you bums are writing the other two thirds of this thing. So it's a 9-song album, I think. And his songs are like, "Hey, here's mine, Sweet Hitchhiker, Hey Tonight." Like, he just, like, just dumps two great songs on the table. And then, like, I know there's a song, Door to Door, which is like, hey, baby, blah, blah, blah. But it's like the song where the drummer has to sing one. So it's like Doug Clifford is like, and there's like a Creedence Live album where suddenly you hear, they're like playing, here, I have to look this up now. You're not going to, like, the jump in tracks on this is ridiculous when he goes, where is it? Here it is. Let's see. Creedence. Live in Europe. First thing, Born on the Bayou. Then Green River and Susie Q together. Then It Came Out of the Sky. Here, let's listen to the very end of this thing. Look at that. Here. Okay. Oh. That's Creedence. It's Door to Door. Imagine. And then here's the song after that. Oh, like they put a Door to Door, then this next. It's like, he's just like taunting them with like their inability to write songs. Door to, fine, what's your song? Oh, Door to Door? Sounds great. Yeah, let's add that one. We'll do that one in between. We'll do that, then I'll do Traveling Band. And yeah, and then I'll do Fortunate Son after that. But don't worry, we can all be in this band together. So some Creedence song, probably Proud Mary.
Yeah, I'm not a big Creedence fan, I gotta say, but I do like Fortunate Son.
So you don't like the West Coast Velvet Underground?
Is that what they're known as? I don't know.
In my house, they are.
Okay. That.
So, let's see. Okay, a couple more questions, and then I know you guys are... You have places to be. Let's see. All right. What's the longest you've ever gone without sleeping?
I 3 days.
3 days? And Georgia looks shocked.
Yeah, I sleep all the time. Okay. I can't answer that one.
So you'd be like 11 hours.
Yeah.
like it's like.
Oh my God! I gotta go to sleep. Yeah. I've been up for 11 hours.
No, it was terrifying. I was the second night when I couldn't sleep. I couldn't. I was.
That was on tour, right? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
How long ago was that?
It was probably 2003.
Oh, that's way too recently for that to be, like 2003, and you can't sleep, yeah. James.
I don't think I hold the band record, but I'd put it in around 2 days or so.
Okay. All right. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever said to a celebrity? My least favorite question.
I'm not sure what I said. I spilled a drink on Dave Davies, that, like, in attempting to shake his hand.
I'm
sure whatever I said afterwards was embarrassing.
Yeah, sure. That equals the, it was the verbal equivalent of spilling a drink. Georgia, can you think?
So Steve.
Oh, that's a great one.
what is So Steve?
So many So Steve stories. I think I was decided I was going to go. We were at a party in Nashville, and I think it was just James and I were at this party, and I decided, normally I'm very shy, and I wouldn't go up to anyone, really, to start talking, and I just figured, well, I'm going to do this. I recognize this guy, and it's Steve, and I'm going to go, I think it's Steve Earle, and I'm going to, I'm already messing this story up, but anyway, I went up to Steve and said I knew he'd been working with this band I knew, and he's like, they're familiar, but I don't think so, and it basically was Steve Forbert that I was thinking of. I was talking to Steve
and that's
Earle.
Who you were talking to.
Oh, I was. Yeah, see, yeah. I already screwed it up.
So you're talking to Steve Earle.
Forbert.
Forbert, thinking you were talking to Steve Earle.
Yeah. Not that it...
Mike likes that one a lot. That one made Mike very happy.
Okay, good.
Mike's favorite, though, Mike likes the Patti Smith one, right, Mike? Yeah.
I have a Patti Smith one.
I
mentioned it to you.
Uh-huh, yeah. And the only good thing about your story happening to you, mm-hmm. it lessens the impact of my story just even
well, that's kind
incrementally.
Of why, that's kind of why I had told you, because yes. I wanted to help, because I know how it feels.
Yeah.
I was at a concert and in the city, and I met I was introduced to Patti Smith by our the guy who runs our booking agent, and you know we exchanged like you know how you doing and mm-hmm. I got to kind of stick my two cents in on a little conversation that they were already having, and it was great, and I was like, wow, Patti Smith, that's awesome. And then mm-hmm. at the end of the night, concert's over, I'm walking to my car, and I see ahead of me at the end of the block Patti Smith. I was like, oh. And so, and of course,
terrible.
The light change, you know, the light, the crosswalk, the light changes. So, of course, it works out that I'm now standing next to Patti Smith going to my car. And the light of the crosswalk changes, and we both start to walk. And I was like, hey, Patti, do you need a ride? And she, at this point, of course, has no memory of meeting me and has no idea what's going on. She just knows that this, like, gigantic, like monster of a man is like trying to offer her a ride in his car, and she flees in terror, and you know that's it. It's like, all right, well,
I guess that's no.
Yeah. Good night.
It makes mine elegant. My asking her about humble pie in an elevator.
There was no perceived violence in yours, but I think mine mine had a. There was
no. Mine was
there was genuine terror involved in mine.
Unbridled. Miscalculation with mine. Let's see. A couple more questions here. All right. What's the best Kinks album? It's Arthur, right?
I used to think so. I think I now kind of gravitate to something else.
Think Visual?
I think Visual is close second.
Okay.
Something else by the Kinks.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I understand the confusion now, right.
It's our fun who's on first routine. You know, there's a lot of Kinks albums these days.
Yeah. No, something else.
The Great Lost Kinks album.
Okay.
What's left? I don't know.
You can like the same ones. It's not.
Okay, Village Green. Village Green, so.
Well, if you like Village Green, then you should like Arthur Moore, because that's the rock version of Village Green. It's like Village Green with electric guitars. But they're all great. You can't... Well, not all of them are great, but... All right, final question here. Well, second to final. James, question for you. Enough with this nerd stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I knew that one would be a quickie. And what's the most popular movie you've never seen?
I've never seen Forrest Gump.
Okay, that's a good one. Way up there. That's a good one.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now,
really?
Okay.
Oh, no, wait, I have seen that.
I've never seen Titanic.
I've seen the first half hour of Titanic.
Oh, 2001.
You've never seen 2001. All right.
I've pretty much seen them all.
You've seen, you love movies.
I love a movie.
That's what we all say about you. Boy, that guy sure loves his movies.
Say what you want about him.
Yeah. Say what you want about him.
Take that, Patti Smith. We could have talked about movies the whole time.
Yes, we could have talked about how I've seen every movie.
Go ahead, name a movie, Patti.
Like that would have lessened her terror, you saying,
sure.
I've seen every movie.
Humanize me a little bit.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Patti, thanks for getting in my car. Fun thing about me, I've seen every movie.
Before I start the engine.
Yeah, exactly.
And lock the doors.
I know you'd think I'd be driving a windowless van, Ms. Smith. But now, try to stump me. I've seen every movie.
Go ahead.
And then she's just wondering, how do I signal someone so they know I'm in this guy's...
This is how it ends.
Oh! Yeah, this is. I think about how it ends for me. I just think about Spike. I think about that voice saying, "Hello, Tom," and then going, And I'm like, no, no, I feel life slipping away. This can't be it. And it will be it. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming down so much. Yola Tango, we have Georgia, Ira, and James.
Pleasure. Love the new digs.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have an okay time?
Yes.
Great time.
Don't you like how I say that in my, I'm talking to a four-year-old voice? Did you have an okay time? Talk about things I need to fix. That's one of them. Are you happy? Like I say that in some, like, I'm not sure why I'm asking you if you're happy, but I'm like belittling you as I'm asking it. Did you have a good time? That's a no-win situation. So the album comes at the end of August. And again, I keep losing the title to it.
Stuff Like That There.
Stuff Like That There. And who else is on? What other songs are on this album? We're going to hear one more at the end of the show. We'll hear the new version of Deeper in the Movies. Which
yeah. We took three of the songs from our old records and did new versions. And we wrote two new songs. And then we covered stuff by The Lovin' Spoonful, Antietam, The Parliaments, Darlene McRae, Great Plains, The Special Pillow, which you already played. Mm-hmm.
Antietam.
Hank Williams, The Cure. That's most of it.
Mm-hmm. Were you
Sun Ra, The Cosmic Rays.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, that's most of them.
The third one, 25 years from now.
That's right.
When you guys do the third one.
Yep. Yeah.
I would like to pencil in Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth.
Oh.
Right? You know that song?
I like that song.
It's a good song. It's like fake 60s.
Yeah.
Should erase Mustang Sally.
Then they did the question mark song.
Yeah.
The follow. I think it was the follow-up, yeah.
Yeah.
They were on a roll.
They were. They were on a roll. Then it all came crashing down when their talent ran out. Then tragedy struck. And Smash Mouth were revealed to be a moderately talented band who had slightly more than their fill of success, and it ran out. The end. Well, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
And we're gonna thank you. We're gonna play. We'll play from the album Stuff Like That. There, we'll play Deeper in the Movies. And thank you again. Let's hear this. We'll be back. That was fun. That was so awesome. Thank you to Yola Tango for coming down. That was so great. You having an all right time, Mike? All right, click it back a notch. Mike said he had a great time. You know what? That's fair. I apologize. I'm glad you had a great time. I'm so glad. And that was just Deeper in the Movies from the upcoming Yola Tango album, Stuff Like That There. So good. The phone number, 201-332-3484. What a crazy show we've had. We've had Spike, the son of Harry Morgan, Yola Tango, and Billy from Newbridge, and his ferrets, which are running loose. Hopefully he's got them contained. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Ah, it's going all right. Who's this?
My name is Jesse.
Jesse?
Uh-huh. Hold on. Sorry. My phone's being made.
Okay.
Sorry about that. This is Jesse.
No worries, Jesse. What's going on tonight?
Not much. Just hanging out, listening to the interview. And I wanted to call in because I've been a big fan for a while. And
why, thank you.
Yesterday was my one-year anniversary of living in Brooklyn, and I figured it was time I finally called into the Best Show.
So you have been in Brooklyn. Where'd you come from before that, Jesse?
I came from Portland, Oregon, actually. I've been talking with some very excited friends since you made the announcement.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lateral move.
Yeah, totally lateral. I mean, this is pretty much the same exact thing.
Are you having fun?
I love it here, yeah.
What neighborhood are you in?
I am in Lester's Gardens.
No, that's not it. What neighborhood?
I'm like on the wrong side of Prospect Park.
Lester's Gardens? That's not a neighborhood.
Prospect Lester's Gardens.
Prospect Lester. You're just making things up now.
I wish I was. I knew you were going to make fun of that.
But it's not real. I'm not even making fun of it as much as I'm questioning the integrity of it.
I didn't believe it was real either, but apparently they didn't want to be a part of Crown Heights, so they made up a name.
It sounds British.
We got to bring a little class to Brooklyn, I guess.
Look, Jesse, mm-hmm. You've been here for a year.
I have.
You don't get to talk about classing that place up.
There's nothing I can do.
No, you got to just, you're on the ride now. You're on the last car of the roller coaster.
Well, I had to get on the roller coaster eventually, I guess.
Last car of the roller coaster.
But it's funny because I also spend a lot of time in Sunset Park. So I was like, oh, I doubly get to deal with the great neighborhoods of Brooklyn.
Sounds like, well, I'm glad you're having a good time. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I actually had something I wanted to tell you about as well.
Oh, here we go. What do you got?
Okay, well, I wanted to tell you, because you talk about how there's not enough tributes and homages to the Best Show in life. I wanted to tell you about my own personal way I used to pay tribute to the Best Show before I moved out here.
Let's hear it.
I used to run an open mic, comedy open mic in Portland before I moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing tech and I ran the sound booth, we were very strict about our time policy. And so I would bad company people who burnt the light and wouldn't get off stage.
You'd play bad company.
I would bad company them. I would slowly bring up the intro, and if they hadn't gotten the point, by the time the breakdown came on, I just brought the stage lights all the way up and cut the mic and blared some bad company.
And how did that go? How did that go over?
Well, I mean, the person getting bad company didn't like it, but everyone else loved it.
Did anybody know what it was?
I had my significant other knew what it was because he's a big fan. But I had a couple people, I made a couple friends through that, one person in particular,
mm-hmm.
who brought it up and was like, oh my God, you Best Show, or I mean, you bad company,
yeah. So you'd only do that when somebody was like boring or went on way too long, like
when they would
like past the point that they should.
Yeah, when it was like 2 minutes after when they should have gotten off stage, mm-hmm. and they weren't getting many laughs.
Yeah, so you mean like after the, like it's like, look, we get it. You made your point. Why are you still mm-hmm. up there?
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would just do that, and then the people would... Did they get it? Were they ever like, hey, look, I was up there too long. I get it.
Oh, I got apologies usually afterwards.
Mm. Okay. And what was your... Explain to me what it was, what you would say to them, why you did it.
Because they went on too long, and I had been lighting them, and they saw the light and blew it. And I really hope I'm getting bad company right now.
No, you're not. I wouldn't do that to you. Why would I do that to you?
I was hoping, because it would be like the perfect tie together.
No, you wanted it too badly. I would never do that to you, Jesse.
Ah, darn it.
Never in a million years.
I did kind of want it, so you're right. You were right not to go through with it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the call. I'm glad that worked for you. I appreciate it. And you have a grand evening in this fine night, in this fine Brooklyn night, right?
Yes, I will.
Breathe the air of East Prospect Leicester Gardens deeply.
I will.
Good night.
Thank you.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Jefferson from Texas.
Jefferson from Texas. Now, this is a quality caller. This is a quality caller.
Bless you, Tom.
I didn't say what quality.
Exactly.
You cut me off before I finished. This is a
quality
caller the same way that cheap chocolate in a hotel is chocolate.
It's this bare minimum of chocolate.
No, well, you're fine. What's up, Jefferson?
I believe I've stumbled upon the single dumbest piece of television writing ever committed to the medium.
Really?
Really.
What is it called?
It's from an episode. It's a line from an episode of Friday Night Lights, which is a show my wife started getting into because she needed something to watch. And there's a line in one of the first season episodes that goes thusly. They're going to be in your chili all night, and if you don't listen to me, you're going to be eating some serious turkey.
Wait, you're going to be in the chili?
They're going to be in your chili all night, and if you don't listen to me, you're going to be eating some serious turkey.
And this is like a football show, right?
It's in the middle of one character putting someone through, or putting another character through drills.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's
just words, right?
Like they're going to be in. Who could take that? They're going to be in your chili all night.
And who, how has this ever been a colloquial? Like, is this just, no one says this, right? Absolutely no one has ever said this.
Now, where are you calling from again, Jefferson?
Texas.
Yeah, that's like football country down there. That's high school football country, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You guys love your high school football.
It was big at my high school, yeah.
And did anybody ever yell about getting in someone's chili?
I'm sure a lot of people ate chili, but I don't believe anyone's ever said, you know, they're going to be in, or I'm going to be in your chili all night, sir.
All right. Look, I get it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I don't know about that guy. I know, Friday Night Lights. I gotta watch this, Friday Night Lights. You ever watch it, Mike? And what happens? They go to they keep getting better or something? There was a murder? Like on a football field? Who committed the murder? Murder on the 50-yard line. A Friday Night Lights mystery. That'd be something else. The phone number, 201-332-3484. Let's take a listen. Just hold on one second. Hold on. Just give me a second for the love of Pete, would you? So the phone number, 201-332-3484. The best show, the Sharpling and Worcester tour dates. Have been announced. We will be performing. Thursday, August 27th. Numo's in Seattle, Washington. Saturday, August 29th. Portland, Oregon. The Doug Fir. San Francisco. September 3rd. Thursday, September 3rd. The Great American Music Hall. And September 5th, Los Angeles, at the El Rey Theater. That will be the Sharpling and Worcester full show, the exciting show that has sold out every time we've done it, and will continue to do so. Tickets go on sale this Friday, June 5th, 10 a.m. Pacific time. For all those shows, I will post links on Twitter. We will have them on our websites. They are going to be great and so much fun. And everybody who's been to see the show has had a grand time. Yeah, that's right. Best show's going to be Sharpling and Worcester, up in your chili all night. Right? And don't be a turkey. Get your tickets. We'll be up in your chili. I tell you, you miss those tickets, man. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
I tried to get tickets, but then it sold out.
Yeah. You got your shot, man. Friday, June 5th, you buy your tickets. Lock it down. Something else I want to say. Last week's show, I was talking about audiobooks, and I was goofing on the way people read audiobooks and whatnot. And who, like, didn't read. Like, there was the guy who did the Leonard Skinner one. Then there was the guy who did the Fillmore one. And then I read something from the guy who did the Todd Glass book. And I was like, why didn't Todd Glass do his own book? And it's like, yeah, of course he didn't do his own book, because he, one of the things he deals with is dyslexia, and that's why he didn't read it. And, yeah, so I was not saying that in any sort of mocking way with that. I didn't think about that, so seriously, I was not, I apologize if anybody took that as me taking a shot at him for anything like that. I wasn't. Didn't think about it. I'm a huge fan of his, and, yeah. So, I'm sorry. Takes a big man to say they're sorry, Mike. You could learn something from me. Mike's never wrong. Never wrong. We have a guest book here now. God help me. And Mike wrote... Mike was like, can I sign the guest book? Can I sign it? I'm like, yeah, sure. Sign the guest book. No, he's got to show me. He's handing me. He's so gleeful with this. Oh, I'm so scared. What is that a reference to? Mike, what is that? I love the bread you're putting out to the world. The brand? I love the brand you're putting out to the world. It rings so true to my spirit. Keep it up. What is that? Did I just read something offensive? Is that like a Hitler quote or something? What is that? Oh, okay. You're speaking from your heart. Okay, well, you know, I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the brand you're putting out there, too. And you keep it up, too. Oh. God love him. God love him. Good guy. He's a good guy. You know what's funny? You got to hear last week's half hour of power if you want the post show. Best show, post show. I laughed as hard as I've laughed in ages during that. Mike was... off the charts hilarious, telling stories about... he had a story for anything. He could tie anything back to some horror... like I mentioned Staten Island offhand, and then Mike breaks out some story about some guy had his girlfriend on a leash at the Staten Island Mall. Mike had... but he had this at his fingertips. Yeah, I gotta... unbelievably funny. You got to check that out. You go to thebestshow.net. You can download that. And you should download all the episodes, by the way. That's how you help The Best Show. Help us out. And then Mike's now working on the guy from the Impractical Jokers. He's now got this guy on Twitter saying, hey, I'll come on the show. Well, I'll do it. Do you want to interview him, Mike? No? Mike wants to interview Sal from Impractical Jokers. So we'll set that up. Sal said he would do it. I tell you, get Mike and Sal together from Impractical Jokers. And for people who don't know, this show, Impractical Jokers, it's a show where these guys from Staten Island go and they make each other do stunts that they film themselves. They film each other with a thing and they're like talking into earpieces. And yeah, so Mike's a fan of it. He started tweeting at the guy started tweeting back. So I guess Mike will be interviewing Sal from Impractical Jokers on an upcoming Best Show. Unrecognizable sometimes. I look at this show and I'm just like... Like, now I know why Saturday Night Live has a structure. Where it's like... Yeah, it'd be like if you're watching Saturday Night Live and one week it's the way Saturday Night Live usually is. Then you're watching it the next week and then there's a guy interviewing a guy from a prank show on it. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Brad from Pennsylvania.
Brad, thanks for calling. And I want to say the phone number is 201-332-3484. We'll do open phones for the rest of the show. We had a fun night. We had Yola Tango in studio. Did you hear that, Brad?
Yes, that was great.
That was great, right?
Yeah.
They're heroes.
Yeah.
Rock heroes. And personal heroes.
Yeah.
Are you get what I'm saying. Are you a fan of Yola Tango, Brad?
Absolutely, yeah.
You see what I was saying with the quality, right?
Absolutely.
They don't flag, man.
Nope. Love Yola Tango.
People miss the Mike Show. People on Twitter now saying, I miss the Mike Show. Maybe it's time to bring the Mike Show back. Special guest Sal from Impractical Jokers. And hey, Mike, can you come in here for a second? What if I'm your co-host for the Mike Show?
That'd be an interesting take.
And you just do the Mike Show. Which, the Mike Show is this thing that happened within the Best Show when it was on WFMU. But now it can be, we could do it within this show.
Okay.
We could do the Mike Show within here or do it as a standalone show. We'll do whatever you want. Yeah. But I'll be your co-host.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's the, and I'll just have to put up with your,
my nonsense.
Well, just like your, a lot of things, like you just going, a lot of things in the news. And then picturing me just going like, why am I?
Tom. What?
I'm already lining stuff up.
Yeah, what's up, Tom. Brad? What, Brad?
How about my call? Come on, man.
Oh, are you seriously are saying that?
No, I'm not trying to be rude. I just want to get to the subject that I want to call about.
Okay. You know what, Brad? To be fair, you're right. I don't know where I got off having a conversation with Mike during the thing. You're on the line. It's your turn.
All right.
The floor is yours. It is Brad's special moment.
Thank you, Tom.
And what do you want to talk about, Brad?
I've been hearing you.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jesse in Las Vegas.
Jesse in Los Angeles.
No, Vegas, sorry.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
What happened? You lose your phone at the craps table?
No, I'm sorry. Is this better?
What, did you come up one league? Sounds like you're underwater, Jesse.
Is this any better?
It's not great, but we can roll with it.
Okay. I've been thinking about Jim Morrison a lot since a couple weeks or maybe a month ago when Julie was on the show.
Yeah. Julie Klausner.
Yes.
The best. She's the best, right?
Absolutely. I loved that episode. It was the best show ever.
It's like magic.
Yeah. You two are the best together.
Yeah, it's like Sarah and Hill. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who else? What's another duo here? What's another duo? Help me with that. It's like me and Brad from the guy I just hung up on. No, it's not like that. No, cause, go ahead. Sorry. You were thinking about Jim Morrison a lot.
Well, yeah. When I was in fifth grade, I was kind of obsessed with the Doors.
Mm-hmm.
So I have...
That's what fifth graders are supposed to, that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to be obsessed.
Are we also supposed to think we're the reincarnation of Jim Morrison?
Well, now you're getting into your own personalized Jim Morrison experience. So you thought you were the reincarnation of Jim Morrison?
I mean, not really, but it was like a notion I entertained as a kid because I was weird and arty, and he had that whole thing about
and
how
you can
he
barely sing.
It.
Go ahead, what?
Yeah, and he had that whole thing where he thought he had the soul of like a dead Native American in him.
Yeah.
So I think I just kind of picked that up and ran with it with my overactive imagination.
And you thought you were the reincarnation of Jim Morrison.
Yeah. I was pretentious and I wrote bad poetry.
The killer walked along the road. Cause that guy, right? He didn't wake up when he's doing it. Sounded like he was half asleep. Bird of prey. Bird of prey. Flying high. Right, you know the song I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Flying in the... You should know, you're the reincarnation. It's you I'm talking to, right, Jim? Can I interview you as Jim Morrison?
I think I would be dead weight on that. I don't remember a lot about his life anymore, except some weird story about him burying jeans under his front porch or something.
This is what I want to ask you, Jesse.
Okay.
Tell me an incident... When you thought you were him, how you conducted yourself. What's the defining moment of that mental place you were in?
Probably, I think I just, like, I told a lot of kids on the playground that I was the Lizard King. And, you know, it was like 1991 or 92, and there was no reason for anybody my age to know what I was talking about.
So you would go up to kids on the playground and go like, I am the Lizard King.
It was more subdued.
I'm
more
going
shy, more
to.
Shy.
Would you go like, I am the Lizard King. Now someone push me on the swing. Right? Get it? Because you're on the playground.
Yeah.
Oh, you were a dumb kid. But we were all dumb kids. We all have those things like that.
Yeah,
everybody's got
their
flights of fancy.
Well, I got into Public Enemy the next year, so that was also kind of weird considering where I grew up and everything.
Well, that's not weird. I put this together too, right? That suddenly you're just like that. Suddenly the Doors records are just like they're balancing a table suddenly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your copy of Morrison Hotel is on a crooked desk leg.
Suddenly I think I'm the reincarnation of Huey Newton.
Yeah, why don't you just be the best version of you can be, rather than keep reincarnating yourself?
Oh, I've gotten over the whole phase.
Well, who are you the reincarnation of now?
Nobody, I'm just me.
Yeah, good. Thanks for the call, buddy. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is John from Los Angeles.
John from Los Angeles. Where in Los Angeles are you, John?
I'm in Rancho Park.
Rancho Park? That's not real.
Yes, it is.
Is it a Mexican restaurant?
Yes. it's a district of Mexican restaurants. But I was just calling because I was, have you seen Mad Max Fury Road yet?
I can't wait. I'm going to see it this week.
Okay. Well, I have a question. If a Mad Max post-apocalyptic world was real, mm-hmm. do you think AP Mike would be a warlord in that world?
Yeah, of course he would. He would rise to power. It would be pretty amazing, his rise to... He would be running a group of... he'd be controlling... Because what are they? Are they... They cared about, like, gasoline? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He'd have a giant thing. He'd have a giant thing of Coors Light. Like a giant... like, I've heard there's Coors Light over there. They got Coors Light down there. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
And they'd be coming for AP Mike. He'd run some, like, village where he's just got a giant tank of Coors Light. With Sam Elliott strapped to it.
Would AP Mike have his own followers also?
Yeah, of course he would. He already has followers now. You don't think
then
he would? If it was the apocalypse, he's got to be running things.
All right.
I'd be under his thumb, tap dancing for his, and boy, that'd be a different experience. That'd be a one-way street when he's in charge. Oh boy. I'd be like the tic-tac-toe chicken, man. I'd be looking up at the tic-tac-toe chicken. Boy, someday I'll be where you're at, tic-tac-toe chicken.
What if
rebuild a Strozik, the thing in Strozik.
What if you, like, consulted a tic-tac-toe chicken to make important decisions?
No, that's just ridiculous. Mike's a fully grown adult. He can make his own decisions. He's not going to let a chicken tell him what to do.
Well, I could also see his followers, like, you know, chanting Chiku over and over again.
Oh, yeah. No, that would happen. That would be like some sort of weird Wicker Man thing. Chiku. 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 People with their faces painted. Spooky stuff, man. Spooky stuff. And the desert. See that dude rising out of the masses of human depravity? Top of the pyramid. That'd be a scary sight. Chiku. 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 That'll be the last sound I hear if there's an apocalypse. Is the crowd, all these listeners turning their back on me, siding with him. Be me and I'll be trying to pal up with that dude I just hung up on. Dave, or whatever his name was. Thanks for the call, buddy. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Henry from Berkeley, California.
Henry from Berkeley, California. What's going on tonight, Henry?
Well, I've called in a couple times before to ask geeky comic book questions to you, and I wondered if I could do that again.
I will do the best that I can to answer them. I'm not a comic book expert.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, I was just wondering, did you see that Archie Comics is, like, ending this week and getting a big reboot and all this stuff?
Okay.
That Archie has just been the same kid for a while, and now they're just, like, rebooting him and making him, like, cool and hip and a lot deeper with, like, personal problems and stuff.
Yeah, but is that all of the Archies, or just one line of Archie is going to be that?
Well, you know, they did, like, that alternate universe thing. I was aware of all those stories of, like, they killed Archie. Like, Archie got shot taking a bullet for his best gay friend, but now they're just completely stopping Archie. Like, they're stopping Archie at 666 and just the line-wide reboot at number one.
Hey, who's running the Archie franchise? Who took control of that?
It's actually a family-owned company.
Yeah, who's running that now? Lars von Trier?
I know one of the people that owned it, she got in this big sexual harassment lawsuit.
Allegedly. I don't know what your deal is. Like, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. I just don't want you thrown around. I don't know enough about it.
Well, neither do I. But anyway, yeah, they've just... Archie, you know, they were pretty much the same magazine for like 60 years, and then they got all this press from doing all these progressive stories, and now they're just going whole hog and just resetting everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Did you ever read Archie comics as a kid?
No.
Never?
Nope. Why would I? I had access to superhero comics. You know when you read an Archie comic when you're stuck at your grandparents, you're like, there's some comic. First of all, you're like, where did my grandparents get some weird comic books? Who was reading these? Like, there's no other grandkids. It's not like some other, like, whose were these? But they're there. Like, what did they, grab them at the barber shop? They brought them home?
I mean, it could have been from 1953, and, like, you wouldn't be able to...
They were so boring, too. Archie, what, the milkshake machine broke, and he's worried he's not going to get a vanilla milkshake tonight. You know what I mean?
And then he had two dates at the same time, and Jughead would just say, like, who needs women?
Yeah, big problem. Two dates at the same time. They draw these Archie comics. Betty and Veronica are the two ladies in those?
Yeah.
So this creep Archie's the double timing people.
Mm. Well, what I thought was cool is that the Jughead books being written by.
So you're super Archie. Into it. You're super into this.
Well, I'm getting more into it now.
Well, that makes sense. You get older, of course you'd get into Archie as you get older. How old are you, young man? Young man, approximately?
32.
32, okay. Mm-hmm. Would you look at this as an exciting new interest, or B, a cry for help?
I guess it's a cry for help that I've read every superhero comic I can, so I need to read Archie as well to fit in.
So you've read all the comic books?
Not all the comic books, but I have gotten to the point where if my friends say like, they try to suggest something to me, I just say, yeah, I read that.
But you know what I would do if I got to that point with comic books, you know what I would try?
Mm-hmm.
Books.
Those are hard.
You want to know what? They're not that hard. You can build those muscles back up. Read a book. Read an actual book without pictures.
I read Cavalier and Clay.
Yeah, a book about comic books.
It was a good entryway.
No, it was a good book. You can do better, though. I know you can do better. You're a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
What's the last book? What's the last fiction book you've read?
Ooh, fiction, boy.
Cavalier and Clay? Was it Cavalier
and
Clay?
No, sir. Oh, the Brief and Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde,
mm-hmm.
Which is also about pretty much comic books.
Yeah.
Also,
you sure like your comic books, don't you?
I like other things.
Look, I love a comic book, too. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. But I would say to you, diversify. That's how the dinosaurs died, man. They didn't diversify.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you do know what that means? Because I don't know what that means. Please explain it to me.
Well, that they only ate plants or only ate meats. And
okay.
That's should have had mixed it up.
But what are they going to mix it up with? What are they going to do? Either ate plants or meat. Were they supposed to get a walk?
Well, they should have been omnivores.
Are you going to see Jurassic World?
I have a bad habit of hate watching films, so I might go see it, but it looks so stupid.
What's the last great movie you've seen?
Okay. Honestly, I have seen great movies. My brain is not working. Oh, okay. It was Drunken Angel, the Kurosawa film.
Okay. That's a good movie.
I need to stop looking at child. I think I just don't like to challenge myself that much. I don't know.
Look, it's fair. Everybody hits their stretches where they level off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And somebody just said on the chat over at friendsoftom.com, they're just wondering where a guy who is getting deeper into Archie is going to put down a dinosaur movie.
Good point. After three, when they had a conversation with the Velociraptors in three. After that, how much lower can you go, really?
All right, you have a great night, buddy. I appreciate the call. I can't do it anymore. 201-332-3484. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Sarah.
Sarah from?
I don't know, Nashville, Brooklyn. I don't know where I live right now, but one of the two.
That's
whichever
fair.
Works for you.
That's fair. Have we met before, Sarah?
Yeah, we met. We hung out last week. I met you in Brooklyn. Little Killers played on Terry's show.
Oh, I know this, Sarah, of course.
You remember? Yeah.
Yes.
You remember.
One of
got
the
a good memory.
You are the proprietor of an establishment called Duke's.
Correct. Joseph said he prefers Saloon Keeper, but you say whatever you want.
It's
rolling with Saloon Keeper.
It's in Nashville. It's this awesome place you have called
Thank
Duke's.
You.
And it's
Thank
like
so
it's
much.
Like a cool bar that's not like a cowboy Nashville bar, right?
Well, you know, it's in Nashville, but it's like, you know.
But it's got
it's a cool
rock.
Guy bar, but it's not a cool guy bar.
Yeah, but you know? It's like a rock stuff.
Yeah, rock stuff. We just got a really cool guitar too. Our friend made us a Lucite Explorer and put the logo on it. Just showed up with it last night. It's so cool. We hung it up over the DJ booth.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's so cool. Well, so yeah, you were in one of my favorite bands ever, the Little Killers.
Oh, come on. You're just saying that.
I'm not just saying that.
I'm teasing. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You played bass.
I played bass.
Heavy
bass
duty.
Pointers. Yeah, the heavy stuff.
Yeah, and then now you run this bar with Joey from the Joey Plunkett from the JP5.
Yep.
And he was one of the men in Gentleman Jesse and the Men. And he's also, I guess what he's best known for is playing on the song Hey A.P. Mike by Gary the Squirrel.
Gary, yeah, we got to get like a platinum record of that.
Yes.
Very excited. That's at the top of his resume, believe me.
him backing up Gary and the Heartthrobs. He was a member of Gary and the Heartthrobs.
Yeah, I just put a picture of that on our Instagram today. Best show pregame party with Joseph and Gary.
Oh, that's awesome. So,
yeah, we had a great time hanging out with Gary down here in Nashville. Gary was a good time.
Yeah, he's coming.
Yeah,
Gary's
that was
gonna,
my first time meeting him.
He's going to be tearing it up on the West Coast, maybe.
I heard about that.
We'll
Very
see.
Exciting.
We'll see. So what's going on in Nashville tonight?
I got a little bit of a cold, so I'm kind of stuck in the house. And me and Joseph were listening to the show, and he had to go back to the bar. So I was just like, I'm bored. He goes, call Tom. Tom doesn't want to talk to me. He's like, just call Tom. Call somebody. So I called you.
Of course I want to talk to you.
Yeah. He's down there. I got Jeff the Brotherhood DJing. They're going on tour tomorrow. They're stealing one of our bartenders for 3 weeks. But they're having a good time down there, so... I'm stuck at home with cabin fever, so I'm calling you.
Nashville's coming back. Well, I don't know if it's coming, but it's coming. It's going somewhere. I don't know
something,
if it was there
happened.
And then didn't, it, and it went the wrong way. But it's definitely like, it's really awesome down there now.
Yeah, it took me a while to get used to it, you know, just like driving everywhere and all that kind of stuff, but figuring it out, you know, taking some Ubers,
when you walking moved,
around.
Yeah. When you moved down, were you just like, oh, no, what is this place going to be?
Well, I was visiting. I would say it's like when you put a goldfish in the plastic bag and the thing, you know, it takes a while, and then you can take out a plastic bag. It was kind of like that. I was just coming down to visit Joseph, and, like, the first time I came down, I met, like, Jem and Coco and all those guys and Jeff and just hanging out at the record store, and I had, like, a really great time, and I came back to visit a whole bunch, and I thought I was tricking Joseph into moving back to Brooklyn. I didn't know he was tricking me into moving down here, but
you gotcha.
Here I am.
It was the, yeah, and now here you are. Owner of a bar now. Not only are you there, yeah, you're an innkeeper. You turn around.
Yeah.
You thought you were going to get your gentleman caller, Joey, to come back to Brooklyn with you. Then you turn around. Suddenly, you're behind the counter at this bar. You got.
Oh, I don't go behind the counter. They don't let me behind there. I sit down. I sit down in the DJ booth and
You work the floor.
Yeah, I hide in the corner more likely.
Now
but yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Now you are on.
Everyone's having a great time.
You're on Instagram, yes? The bar is.
Yes, I am.
Right?
Yeah, the bar is, and I've got a personal Instagram. I've got two Instagrams. I don't mean to sound too fancy, but
well, it's very impressive. I don't know how on earth you could have gotten that second one. You clearly know someone over at Instagram. Yeah.
Exactly. I went straight to the top on that.
What are the addresses that you can give for people to follow you guys?
Oh, gosh. I think mine is nobody wants to follow me on Instagram. The bar one is it's Duke's Nashville. Super easy.
Okay. And yours will remain a mystery.
Well, Sarah Pants 99, but whatever.
Don't worry.
That's mine. But yeah, there's a picture of that guitar on there, actually. You should check it out later when you're done.
I am going to check it out. I can't wait to see it.
Looks really cool.
A Lucite
guitar. This guy, our buddy Dave Johnson. I have him on my phone as Dave the Bass Fixer, but I've now learned his last name, so upgraded our friendship.
All right. This is great. I'm ending the show right now, Sarah.
No.
It's midnight.
Cool.
Down there, it's only 11.
I know.
But here, it's midnight.
Time zone.
What's that, Mike? Okay, Mike is telling me to take another. There's a line here. I'm
okay,
going to say goodnight.
Go. I'll talk all day. I don't need to, but you
No,
have
of course. You call anytime you want, Sarah. It's so great hearing from you. You take care.
Yeah, you too. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Mike's saying take line three. Line three, yes. Welcome.
Hey. Hi, Tom. It's Dudio.
Why would you? It's Dudio, everyone, a.k.a. Jason, the name that you were given, not the one you chose for yourself,
nope.
Dudio.
Yeah.
No, it's not Charlie Morgan. People in the chat, you missed all the excitement tonight, Jason.
I did.
Harry Morgan's son called in.
Good Lord.
The son of Harry Morgan, the guy, and he was in Inherent Vice. And you got to hear the voice on this guy, man. He is, you know, sometimes when there's a call, it's like, oh, this sounds like a put on. There is no way this was a put on. He sounds like Harry Morgan's son.
Really?
Yes. So what's going on, Dudio?
I just saw Entourage.
Oh, I don't want to know anything about it. I'm going to go see it. Don't you spoil anything for me.
I'm not spoiling a thing. All I'm saying is take any film that you've seen this year so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw it out the window.
Okay.
This is film of the year.
Oh, I love it. That's what I wanted to hear. That's the only thing I wanted to hear.
Yep.
Is it a party in the theater?
It is. It was 100% a party.
How crowded was it?
The theater was packed.
No.
7 p.m. No, the theater was packed. We were shocked at how many people were in the theater.
Mm-hmm. And were the police outside, like, running, like, cross-checking people's faces with, like, with like prior convictions that they had?
Yeah. Full SWAT.
You're good. Yeah. You're clear. Yeah. All right. We got you on a hate speech thing. Get in the paddy wagon. Yeah, they just start arresting people for just hate speech. They're just like, we're just looking for people who are convicted of hate speech. And we're going to bring them in tonight. Wait, you're scanning to see everyone from all the crimes that people commit? No, we're just doing hate speech. Trust me. The jails are going to be overflowing from the Entourage movie if we're just booking hate speech, people who skipped out on their hate speech conviction.
Yeah. They were all caught tonight.
So you loved it?
I loved it. It was like taking four of the best Entourage episodes that you can remember and just cramming them together, and that's the film.
I got to see this thing now.
And the cameos were unbelievable.
I don't want to hear. Don't ruin it.
I'm not saying a single one. I'm not telling you any of them.
Mike already ruined part of it. Mike told me that Johnny Drama's in it.
Yes. Yeah, Drama is a very integral part of the film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
But there are those cameos where you're like, what? Really? You're in this?
The only thing I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Is there a cameo by Sal from Impractical Jokers?
Not that I could see.
Okay. Second question, final one.
Okay.
Is Charlie Morgan, son of Harry Morgan, in this movie?
Yes, he's in it.
He is?
Oh. Yeah.
All right, that's close enough with spoilers. I already was playing with fire on that. I had to tell Daniel Ralston, he caught me on instant message. He's like, I saw Entourage. I'm like, I don't want to hear anything about it. I don't want it ruined. Now you're rubbing it in my face. You saw it. I'm going to be the last one to see this thing.
Oh. You got to see it tomorrow, Tom.
I think I might.
You really have to.
All right, Dudio. You have a grand evening. And
you too.
Can I say a happy birthday to your better half?
I will tell her that right now.
Please. Happy birthday, Kristen.
Happy birthday, Kristen.
Okay. You have a good night.
You too, Tom. Right. Take care.
Final call of the night. Best show. You're on the air.
You too, Tom. Take care.
Hey, Tom. This is Adam from Tampa. Final call of
the night. Adam from Tampa.
Yes, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm good. What's up in Tampa tonight?
Oh, you know, just Tampa things. Just thinking about Ringo Starr.
Wait, hold on. Tampa things?
Tampa things, you know.
What's a Gulf Tampa Coast thing? Stuff. Oh, people want to know, dude, why isn't Dudio in the studio? Oh, apparently you do the greater than, less than thing. His would say Entourage is greater than Best Show. And you know what I would say for mine? Same thing. Entourage, I would skip out on this show in a millisecond to see the Entourage movie if I had a chance.
I'll bear that in mind.
So what's going on? What give me the lowdown. You're cagey. You're scaring me a little bit. I got to say.
Oh, nothing.
What's your name again?
Adam from Tampa. We've talked before.
Okay.
I've since changed my name.
I got to say, I'm picking up a vibe from you.
Oh, no vibe. I just know that you had some issues.
No, there's a vibe. There's a vibe. Be honest with me. What's the Achilles heel for you, Adam? You can tell me. What is it? You know what vibe I'm picking up on you?
What's that?
Peeper vibe. You definitely got that. I'm picking up a strong peeper vibe. Be honest.
No, sir.
Be not honest. Peeper. What do you got? You got a stepladder? What do you got? You got a what in your trunk? Be honest. Be totally honest. In your trunk, do you have like fake like service uniforms? Like you could become a security guard or a doctor or like? Can you just like turn into? Do you just do? Do you have like that? Is it like Catch Me If You Can out of your trunk?
I mean, you know, I got some Frank Abagnale tendencies, but I'm not a peeper.
You, look, I'm never wrong with this. My peep dar is strong. You're a full-on, I can feel it. Staring in a window. Yeah, look, right? Yeah.
I'm just here to talk about common ground. Because I know we agree on one very, very embarrassing thing that that happened recently.
What's that?
Ringo Starr being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Have you watched the induction ceremony?
No, I didn't. I was out the night it was on. I was at Wawa. I spent the last 3 days on a terrible eating tear. Like I was doing so well, and then I just hit a thing for like 3 days. I was just like, yep, I'm feeling it. I'm just going to eat the garbage that I want to eat, and I'm stopping. I already stopped it, but I indulged it for 3 days, and I nipped it in the bud. Wawa parking lot, right?
I mean,
Sonic.
You know.
I went to Sonic the other day. Got a Sunday. It was disgusting.
Of course it was.
Almost threw up as I ate the entire thing.
Sundays are just better when you make them yourself.
No, they're not. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. A Sunday's good anyway.
Dumbest thing you've ever heard?
A Sunday, yeah, it literally is. It literally is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, look, I'm not going to step on your toes like old dude a couple calls ago. But I disagree.
Okay, you know what? That's why God made horse races, because we all can disagree.
So absolutely.
What can I do for you, buddy?
Well, the Ringo thing. At the end of the show, he kind of took it upon himself to be the ambassador of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. Sang Boys, which he sounded good on, you know, 50 years ago.
What songs? Let me guess what songs he came up. So he did Boys, you're saying.
Yeah.
I've been told that a boy kiss a girl who leaves a... One of the worst songs ever. Then what did he do next? Oh, mama. Oh, mama. Can you boogie? Can you fly? Did he do that?
You know, I dipped out in the middle. It was either that or Photograph, but I stopped paying attention because he doesn't...
What did he do?
You know.
Then she broke out some marijuana, uh-huh. She said it was the finest in the land. Did he do that one? And I say no.
He didn't.
What if he did all these songs and then at the end of it, someone from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame came up and then like revoked his award? Like, hey, you're out.
Never mind.
Shortest run in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ever.
I mean, I was half expecting that to happen, to tell you the truth.
I'm telling you this, man. Hey, listen. I'm telling you this, if Ringo makes it in the Hall of Fame, there is no way Weird Al does not make it in. I'm serious. Weird Al has to make it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if Ringo Starr did. Weird Al does song parodies and novelty type songs throughout his career. He's had a 35-year career. He's lapped Ringo 3 times over.
Every novelty act lapped Ringo. He was, I mean,
well,
is he a better
true.
Drummer?
Hey, you are than just saying things.
For?
You're just saying things that aren't. Ringo lapped Buckner and Garcia. Right?
Sure.
Napoleon the 14th, whatever that record was. Remember that thing?
Oh, they're coming to take me away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Ringo
yeah,
beat
point.
That.
I mean, is he a better drummer than he gets credit for?
No.
Sure.
He did the job. What is he supposed... We're supposed to give him a pass because he wasn't a bad drummer?
No, I agree that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I think he was a good component to the Beatles. I mean, we've talked about this before. I'm a Kinks guy over the Beatles.
The Beatles would have gotten by with... I'm telling you this. The Beatles would have gotten by with a half-decent drum machine. They would have been just fine. Right? If they had the drum machine from Big Black, they would have been fine. Was it Roland? What was the drum machine's name in Big Black? Come on, tell me. Refresh my memory.
You stumped me.
If they would have had that drum machine from Big Black, the Beatles would have been just fine.
They might as well have had drum machines on the White Album.
What's that mean? You're just saying stuff tonight. Look, God love you, my friend. God love you.
You're right. It's been a weekend.
You've just said what? It's what?
I had a weekend.
You had a weekend.
Not a good one.
Yeah, it's Wednesday now. You can't hide behind the past weekend.
You're absolutely right. I'll come better prepared.
Splash some cold water on your face, son. This is a 5-star flame out of a call. You're like a used car salesman on this call. You'll just say anything. Right? You gotta stop with the peeping, my friend. It's going to your head. It's going to your head.
The peeping, not a part of my activities, but.
Mm-hmm. You can admit it is, though. Come on. Be honest.
I'm not gonna let this one down.
I'm just teasing you. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I called.
I'm with you. I think you're a cool dude.
Look, I took a gamble. Last call of the night gets the peeper vibe.
I'm just busting your chops. You know that. I don't want you to go crying into the night, the Tampa Eve, right?
No tears here.
I don't want you driving the streets of Tampa with your eyes all watery because the guy on the radio... teased you. You know I'm on your side, right?
You're on my team. I'm not going to go driving around listening to Air Supply. I have priorities.
Good. Well, you have a great night, buddy.
You too.
All right. A lot of strident calls on that last call of the night. A lot of strident calls. Last week was that mattress dude. And can I just say, that was... all-time worst call I've ever spoken. That mattress guy, I still can't shake that. That guy. That guy would be, if they were doing funny games, that movie Funny Games, they'd be like, this guy's a little too amoral for Funny Games. All right, my friends. The best show has now ended. You may go in peace. Remember, tickets to see Sharpling and Worcester go on sale this Friday. This Friday. We're playing 4 shows. Where are the shows? Well, August 27th, Seattle, Washington at Numo's. August 29th, Portland, Oregon, Doug Fir. September 3rd, San Francisco, the Great American Music Hall. And September 5th, Los Angeles, the El Rey Theater. You got to get your tickets. I want to see all your smiling faces out there. And these shows go on sale this Friday. I will be putting links up on Twitter. And my friends, thank you so much. And thank you to Yola Tango for coming down. Georgia, Ira, James, so appreciated. Their new album comes out in August. And we will be back next week. As we leave, we're going to play something from the Sueves. 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 Why can't I say this band's name? Wah. It's great, though. It's a single on Hozak. A new single on Hozak. So good. We're going to check it out. A song called Liquid Hounds right now. Best show. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.